Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
New HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer, and talking dirty. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Oh, man. I feel like? I feel like it's the first show we've ever done. I feel like it's June 5th, 2005.
That's what you feel like?
And we've never done a show before. I'm so excited. I have so much like excited anxiety about the show that it feels like it's the first show we've ever done.
I feel like it's more of like the 50th show we've ever done, where guests are waking you up out of bed to come on the show.
I think if it's really like the first show you've ever done, your voice should be a little more like this.
Yeah, you're right. I was a little more. It's a better first show ever.
Oh.
Speaking of guests waking me up, I saw Arne Johnson this week, as a matter of fact, at the opening gala of SF Beer Week.
Nice.
I saw Arne was the guy who showed up at my door. It was about 50 shows in, maybe not quite that far, but I had gone to the Oregon Brewers Festival for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And come home on the Sunday to do a show, because back then, for some reason, I felt obligated to keep a schedule and do what we do.
Yeah, for some reason.
And I had gone to the Oregon Brewers Festival with my boss at the time. I was a bartender, and I took my boss, and I was a shit show.
You were that guy.
I was that guy. Yeah. I threw up all over myself.
Oh, man.
I pissed myself in the hotel room that I shared with my boss. And then we got up that next morning to get on the flight because he had a family or something.
Yeah.
And then I came home and I went right to bed, of course.
Sure. You got to do it.
As you do.
Yeah.
And then Arne Johnson from Marin Brewing Company, wonderful, wonderful brewer, wonderful man, a kind man, you know, knocks on my door at, 3 o'clock in the afternoon before the show or something. And I just barely make it to the door, probably in my underwear. I'm like, hey, bro, studio's in the garage. I'll see you in a minute. or whatever.
I wonder if he was texting someone, like, in case I don't make it, this is the address.
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
I'm so lucky that that was your guest that day.
That it was somebody that nice.
Somebody who had understanding and patience.
And so that's what I'm saying. In hindsight, how have we made it this far, Teresa? I'm asking an outside opinion.
Yeah, because it is Teresa's fault.
I think there's some talent. There's some tenacity.
Okay.
There's some perseverance.
It's just that.
Creature of habitness.
You're right. And it's a stubborn refusal to get an actual job is what really is.
I am so working towards that myself.
I feel like a lot of our listeners they don't want to let it die also. These are the people who would be like conspiracy theorists where they cling to an ideal no matter how wrong it is.
I think you're right.
Or played out it is. Our listeners are Pizzagate people.
This is why it's so important that you get your schedule together so people can find you or at least have an idea of where you might be in case you're not showing up so somebody can go bang on that RV door at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And find out where I'm.
You need to be dropping pins when you park.
Which leads me to how I'm feeling today.
Okay.
Because, and I'll start that by saying...
Well, because you look great, first of all.
When I finally rose from the dead...
Yeah.
There were multiple texts, emails, and phone calls all trying to figure out which hospital I'm in.
What are you talking about?
No, really?
So, let me just say, as shouldn't surprise anybody...
Yeah.
I fell off the wagon in epic fashion this weekend.
While it was rolling.
I stopped my dry Justin in epic. Like, I don't do anything sort of, right?
Right.
Which we've talked about.
Yeah.
So I didn't sort of fall off the wagon. My good friend, as listeners know, is Adam Schumann.
Yes.
Schumann turned 40 this weekend, and I decided that that was a good time for me to end my dry experiment.
That's right.
And that went on for several days, and I'm barely here.
Okay, good.
With a beer in my glass, by the way.
You have to, at this point.
And I'm only here because my good friends from Revision Brewing changed their entire schedule to come and do a Beer Week event with us and be here tonight.
Would you say that they revised their schedule for you?
I would say that.
Okay, good.
I would say that, and I would also say that I wrote out texts to you, JP.
Oh, no. Okay.
8 times this morning.
Really?
All of them were different ways of explaining why I couldn't do the show.
Yes.
And I'm not good at lying. Believe it or not, I don't like, bullshitting people. I don't like lying. So they were all just different ways of being honest with you, but by also not just saying, hey, I'm a drunken asshole.
Right.
So it was me trying to not say that.
Yeah, hey, I'm a hungover, cover for me. Which has happened before. I have received those texts.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do?
And I know that, and I know that it's fine, but
You're working on a better tomorrow. I get it.
I am. Yeah. I kept writing it out, and then I was like, no. You gotta go do the show.
You gotta. Yeah.
So I called my friend John Schumann.
Okay.
The younger brother of Adam Schumann.
Yes, the slightly less qualified to be a human being, Schumann.
How bad is your life if you called John Schumann for advice? Let's just get that out right now.
Considering he's almost got his ass kicked several times for saying the N-word
right
in public drunk
and other things too. He's known for climbing on the roofs of bars. Like, he gets thrown out of bars not for being drunk but for climbing on their roof. Point being, I called John and said, hey buddy, I'm about to text JP.
Why don't you just
what should I do here?
Okay. Yeah, tell me what he said and then I'll tell
he
you.
He said, listen to me. You need to go to your refrigerator right now.
Yeah.
And you need to open a beer that is in that refrigerator and you need to drink it.
Yeah.
And then call me back and see how you feel about doing the show.
So Dr. Schumann
advised me to drink more.
Yeah.
He's a seasoned alcohol.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Abuser.
Drinker.
Well,
yes.
I was trying
to find the right word.
Yeah.
He was going for abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
He understood that at that moment in my life, in any alcoholic's life, there's only one way out. And that's the start again.
You were sick and you needed just something to get you well.
Yeah.
To then recover fully.
You know, if you had not drunk for a month, I would be more concerned. But I think, you know, I think you proved to yourself you can do both things.
That I can
you
do know? Both? Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah, you can go to the extreme on either
bad.
Way, which is rare.
Teresa's
we've,
my
we've
new favorite
We've all been
co-host.
There. Honestly, like, that's what the Bloody Mary is for, okay? It's a breakfast alcoholic beverage.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody was there with the Bloody Mary on the spot, like, you would have been good.
I might have been okay.
For sure.
So here's what I did.
Okay.
I drank a Pedialyte.
Okay.
I drank a protein shake.
Oh, okay. Oh my God, you're a millennial.
I know, I'm millennial.
In Gen X clothing.
I doubled my vitamin B12 dosage.
Okay.
I chugged a very large water. And then I opened the fridge and had a beer.
Okay.
And that, right, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, is why I'm here today,
right,
doing this show with you.
Wow. Can you write that down? I think that's like a rescue package.
Yeah. It was.
Somebody could put that together.
So please vote for me for city council.
And yeah.
That's my.
And I'll say this, as much of a professional that I am at abusing myself, I actually generally don't do. I would rather like suffer through the pain and pay for my mistakes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I don't normally take all of the medicine to get better. I'm normally like, well, you were an idiot, and now you're going to suffer for that and suffer through it. But
yeah, you don't.
Here's today was bad enough that
then
I was like, I got to do it, man. I got to do all the things.
Yeah.
I think you need to have a separate fridge for Pedialyte shit in the morning.
I think you're right.
I mean, you're not far off from
what? Tell me, JP.
Spending the next 9 months doing the same thing.
You know, because of the road trip?
Yes.
And because me?
You're right.
Right.
If you're going to post up in a national park for 4, 5, 6 days, you're not going to be driving anywhere.
So you think I'm just going to... I No, okay.
You're
going to
be drinking
you.
A lot.
I actually think it's the opposite. It's when I'm in cities doing the shows and the listener parties and the recordings.
Okay.
I'm going to be more hardcore about ruining myself then. And I will use the national parks as a reprieve, actually, because they're
forest wellness program.
And I want to do some hiking, and I want to like wander around. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but I actually do.
Yeah, you're a big hiker. Anyone who can see your calves,
my health,
and your hamstrings, they know that they're powerful.
It's true. And by hiking, I mean running. I'm going to jog all of the trails.
Yeah, and by jogging, you mean rolling out the steps.
And by jogging, I mean I'm going to look at the national park sign and then drive by it and go back to a brewery.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, let's be honest about a few things.
Okay.
Can we do that?
I would love to do that. This is a safe
honesty
space.
Is the best policy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my time off of drinking.
Okay.
And I'm going to do more of it.
Good.
I'm not going to do like these month-long things because it's really boring. I was so bored.
Yeah. Well, I feel
January
like
January is the most boring month I've ever had since I'm 9 years old.
You got to do the. I think the key to anything healthy is to make sure it's sustainable.
Yeah.
And so for just going on, well, you have no ending.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why people do dry January. Or they have a finite time so they can look forward to,
which was helpful for me in a sense. You know.
But I think that is the right way to do it. You just
And you asked me during dry Justin. I don't want to call it dry January because I wasn't really doing the January.
No.
Didn't mean anything to me. I literally woke up. It happened to be January 8th, and I woke up and said,
"Booze break.
I'm gonna see what this whole not drinking thing is about." And I didn't know if it was going to go for all of January or for 3 months or for a week or whatever.
Sure.
So I just want to point that out just because I didn't decide to do dry January.
Right.
I woke up one day and said, I'm going to do dry Justin right now and see what's up.
No, we
and
get you it. You're
asked
different.
Me,
you're different. I get it.
I know. And it turned out to
everybody,
be
exactly, don't worry.
Exactly the same thing. You're right.
I mean, I was going to do it. I was already going to do it first.
Yeah.
Before anybody else was going to do
Thank
it.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. I'm so different. I'm so different, mom. or whatever I'm telling my therapist.
Yeah.
Okay, but you asked me in the middle of it, like, I wonder what your habits will be like after.
Correct, yeah,
and
yeah,
that,
yeah.
I think, was the most changing thing that I found, is that I will just take a lot more days off than I ever did.
Yeah.
And the reason is, I really was kind of having beer most days, like weekdays or whatever, out of habit. We talked about this. It would be like, oh, well, that was a rough day. Grab a beer.
Sure.
But I didn't even, and that crossed my mind while I was not drinking, but I didn't even want the beer. It just was like a reaction. It's like a habitual reaction. And so that, I think, that stuff, I think, changed.
Yeah. Good.
Clearly, my binge drinking didn't, because
no.
This weekend.
Well, I wonder if... if you would even qualify as increasing your binge drinking, because binge drinking is taking days off and then going real hard.
So I'm always going to be what I am today?
I think you're maybe...
Oh,
maybe,
no, I hope
maybe
not.
You'd be worse off.
Oh, no.
Because and maybe I'm wrong, but I think binge drinking like that, where you don't drink Monday through Thursday and then Friday, Saturday, just crank it out, versus taking the same amount of drinks spaced out throughout the week.
Right.
Is I don't
is
know.
More, yeah, instead, so my volume is spread out. In other words, the volume might be the same, but it'll no longer be spread out.
Yeah, and maybe that's something you have to figure out on your own.
Well, I don't know if I'm an enabler or a devil's advocate, but
you're my
like,
favorite
you,
co-host
you
is what you are.
You're probably
you
both.
Still have to hold in your heart. It was your buddy's 40th birthday.
Right.
If you can't get hammered for that, then what can you get hammered for?
Yeah, it's Bastille Day. I got to get fucking hammered right now.
I'm going to be like...
You might really love Bastille, okay?
Yeah. It's Boxing Day. I love giving shit away.
It's Earth Day. I love the Earth.
Yeah, I super love the Earth. Yeah. I'm going to recycle every last one of these aluminum cans.
There's always a day.
Next thing I know, you're going to be on Twitter following Jay Brooks, because he retweeted... tweets all the like the whatever
the
weird
days,
day it is.
Yeah,
like it's pepperoni pizza and anchovy day. That's
Brookston Beer Bulletin, by the way, folks.
That's
great,
right.
Great blog.
And
you're right.
That's gonna be you.
It's always a day. Okay. I'll report back, JP.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm not trying to set you up for failure.
I know you're not.
But
I'm interested
in how
so
go.
Am I. So am I. And I did, I'm telling you, when I woke up today, I was like, man. What the fuck?
Well, and so I was. So we were hanging out at Gilman Brewing,
yeah,
right, for Schumann's birthday, yeah,
right.
And you, me, and Schumann went for a beer, and I was there when you told Schumann that you were going to be hanging out with him in perpetuity.
Night. Yeah,
and he looked like he'd never heard of this before. He was shocked and like bewildered almost,
and he went home. By the way.
He did?
Yeah.
I thought you hung out with him.
No.
What happened to you?
It was too late by then. At like 11 or 12 o'clock, he's like, yeah, I'm going home. And I was like, wait, what?
You were at the brewery for that long?
I'm all in. No, we were at another brewery then.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I was like, I'm all in because you asked me to be all in. He's like, yeah, I'm going home.
Well, that was my point. He never asked you to be all in. You told him you were all in
because
you have to be. And he's like... cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and then he went home.
So that was going to be my point, is where you chose your moment very well.
Yeah.
And this would normally be different in different circumstances, but Schumann's an old man now.
Yeah.
So what happened to you? So then you were at a brewery, Schumann left.
And then, but his brother didn't.
Okay.
and it just kept going. And then, but then he called me the next day and he's like, we're starting again now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I came to work. I had an event here at the Hop Grenade. So I actually came to work. But then he's like, hey, are you coming over tonight? Because I got a free pass for today, too.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, okay, I guess I am.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was the first error. Like, you can't party epically 2 days in a row.
You can't multiple, especially after a month off.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not going to blame anybody, obviously.
No, you shouldn't.
I mean,
no.
I will.
You should.
But it won't be valid.
No.
And so I'm drinking today because I have to.
Right. Right. Uh-huh.
And I think our guests are going to appreciate that I'm off the wagon.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, honestly, they make some of the best beer in the world. I think it's a solid choice to
Revision Brewing Company, ladies and gentlemen. They're on the program today. I'm excited to talk with them. Last time I saw them, Teresa and I hung out with them until 5 in the morning at the Great American Beer Festival because they also know how to have a good time.
Good.
This is the one thing I will pat myself on the back about. I do know how to have a good time.
Yeah.
And so do our guests
today.
Sure,
yeah.
And that's what we're going to do.
See, what I'm trying to do...
But I'm going to leave in an hour and go to sleep.
What I'm trying to do is sort of like the drinking, non-drinking, where you're taking breaks.
You are, okay.
But from fun.
You're breaking from fun.
Yeah, because I have because I have a family and I'm miserable. So
sure.
Whenever, like yesterday, I was
hanging out with you now when I see you outside of the house because you're off of your fun break.
Yeah.
And you're soaking it up. You're
living,
you're ready for fun.
And good.
I like being around you. You're living it up because you know
feedback.
That in 45 minutes you're back to your miserable life.
I got
to
go do the things. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really annoying, but I'm like for NHC and for whenever I meet you on the road, I'm looking forward to that. When we're brewing at Teresa's place.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that because
that's going
to
be a good day.
Are you still making
January 29th?
February.
No, February
29th. I'm going to be there.
You'll see in January, motherfucker. I'm looking forward to it because it's a night off. Then I can like hang out and really kind of go for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whatever. So.
Yes.
Different paths. Parallel paths.
Same but different.
Same but different.
We're both miserable in different ways.
We're both killing ourselves slowly.
We're both going to die slowly and differently.
We're both making choices that we maybe wouldn't have made earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kidding about that.
Are you?
No. I'm just tired all the time.
I just want to make a video series for parents of young children that's like, it gets better, you know?
Yeah. Does it?
For sure.
Honestly,
it does.
I've thought
it's
about
super
doing
hard where you are.
A parenting podcast with myself, Schumann.
Oh, no, don't.
And, well, because
that's
Schumann
not a parenting podcast. That's a miserable together
convention.
Podcast.
Well, but Schumann reads a lot of books, and I read a lot of books too. And not really, but I read articles, I read headlines, I hear about headlines. And we'd be interviewing like child psychologists, people who write these books about the honest side of parenting. Because if you talk to people like Bev, everything is rainbows and unicorns, and I have the perfect child and whatever. Yeah. And it's not true.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not true at all.
Okay.
It's not true at all. Because, whatever. So, yes, I'm glad to hear you say that. It does get better. It is getting easier, but it's still
but
better. All I want to do is
getting
play.
It's getting easier, but not better.
It's getting easier, but not better. But this would be the point of the pod, right? It's like, it's not the child. It's me.
It's the process.
It's my fault.
Oh, my goodness.
It's my mental
retardation. I don't know. It could be your kid. Maybe it's your kid.
No, my kid's amazing. My kid's great.
Maybe your kid sucks.
Really,
maybe you don't know that because you're a parent and you're not allowed to say it. Maybe your kid sucks.
My kid,
have you ever thought of that?
No, I haven't. My kid, shit, now I'm thinking all about
you're like,
that.
Like, shit, maybe my
so
kid
saying,
sucks.
I'm
don't
the cool
say that
one.
Stuff about his kid.
Yeah.
And she's the sucking
maybe
one.
You evolved in all the right ways, but your kid sucks.
Huh.
Wow, that's a terrible
I'm about to get back to you
plant.
On that. Let me see.
Let's talk about it on the next show.
Yeah, 5 years, I think, is to fully, like, sort of, like, form her personality.
Right. By then, you're like, she either is cool or not cool. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Maybe that's why I'm relaxing now. It's like, mine are all past the magic number. So, like, they're fully formed. Like, that ship has sailed.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's something real fast, and we'll move on. Here's something
I'm ready.
She did the other day. And you tell me if it's cool or not.
Can you say it differently? Here's something this asshole did the other day.
Here's something this bitch did. The one who has the audacity to ask me for food.
Yeah, that one.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Here's what she did. You tell me if it's cool or not.
Okay.
I smelled she had a poop. So I'm like, oh, I'm literally playing Star Wars Commander, which is a mobile game, like on my phone. I'm like, okay. And next thing I know, she's holding this thing.
A doody?
Looks like a rock. She had reached in the back of her pants and pulled out a little turd because she poops in these little turds. And she's like holding it.
Okay.
And then she holds it up to me and goes, eh? And I'm like, okay.
And you're like, yes, that is what that is.
Is that cool or not?
Abby
there's a lot
that.
To this question, and I want to I want to try to go into it, but also move on at the same. There's a lot to this question. Yeah. For one, it's interesting to me that enough time went by while you were playing Star Wars that she felt the need to reach into her pants and show you that there's a problem.
Yeah,
so that's a thing.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm still inclined to blame her. Fuck that.
That's not cool.
Fuck that. Like, who's going to pull out duty and show it?
Yeah.
I think that's a dick move.
A 1.5-year-old, I guess.
That's a dick move. I don't
so
care.
She's not cool. Not a cool thing.
I think your child is a dickhead.
Damn. You know, I when you put it that way, you might be right.
Right. Yeah.
I never thought of it like that.
Because, like, there's a whole bunch of other things she could have done. She could have just sat next to you and let you smell the poopy.
Well, and
she could have just dealt with it, by the way. Like, fucking deal with it. You're the one who shit yourself.
Well, and that's sort of that was the path that I was inclined to go down. Because as a woman, these are the things that she should be learning.
Yeah.
And she to deal with whatever life throws at you, even
God.
If it's your responsibility. It's
that's
not my
how
job.
I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm trying to raise her to be a feminist. Don't turn to a man for help.
Yeah.
Help yourself.
Right.
And maybe that's what she was trying to do. She was pulling it out one by one to solve her problem.
Oh, and you intervene too early.
As a male, that's what we
you
do.
Male, you fucked up.
You probably could have waited another 30 seconds. The poor thing would have taken her pants off and just done that, like, scooty booty on the carpet.
The dog scoot.
Are you saying my child has worms?
Her ass on, along the carpet?
Yeah, Alice has worms.
She's like,
now.
I have solutions here, JP.
You know what? I would have respected her more for that. Honestly.
Yeah. Look, I'm not one of those helicopter parents. I will take a fucking nap.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You're like,
fine.
Bro, Han Solo's here. I'll be back in a second.
Oh,
I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, no, I don't think you're doing anything wrong, and I think your kid's
an
asshole.
Thanks, man.
All right. Today's guest, Revision Brewing Company. Let me do a couple of quick announcements, and we got some feedback to do. We're 40 minutes into the show, and I haven't even done our intro. Announcements are brought to you today by Beersmith. Go to beersmith.com, get your free brewing software, free for 21 days anyway, so you can check it out and make sure it's cool, and then just fucking buy it.
I don't know why that was funny to me.
Because the live read I've done 100,000 times, that's a number,
yeah.
I'm now going to do all of our live reads slightly different today, just because your kid's an asshole.
I love it.
That's what's going to happen. It is San Francisco Beer Week, and I am working with one of my favorite breweries. In fact, the beer that I grabbed out of the fridge today on Shoelight's advice was a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know what's always in my fridge right now, even when I wasn't drinking? This is a true story, by the way.
Yeah.
A six-pack of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. It sat there the whole month, and I just opened one today.
Same. That's the only beer I buy. I buy that and Stout. I was buying Stout, and then Celebration Ale when it was out. Both of those aren't
Celebration anymore. I did so also, because I was drinking then.
It's literally just Sierra Nevada, because
Sierra
it's
Nevada.
The best beer that I can get, the freshest beer possible, and it's amazing.
You know what I was drinking at the Bistro Double and Triple IPA Fest?
Wow. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale? Did you? Did you grab a bottle from the bar?
No, they were draft? Pouring it. I was just like, oh.
I'm clapping because it's such, like, I don't know what's wrong with people. Just grab yourself a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And anyway, I'm working with my new best friend, Ken Grossman.
Oh, okay.
This week on Wednesday, we're doing a podcast recording at the Torpedo Room in Berkeley.
Nice.
And it's going to be me and Ken Grossman and Charlie Bamforth.
Ah, Mr. Bamforth.
I know. I got to pull my shit together between now and then, because those two, like, are better humans than I am.
True.
And I need to let that shine.
Yeah, well, you're doing great so far.
Thanks,
maybe just sleep tomorrow.
Just sleep tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, let me know if you need help.
I do need help.
Right.
I wanted to ask you, but I know that you can't leave because your kid's an asshole.
No.
I need you there by like 4 o'clock.
Ooh, that might be too hard.
Yeah.
Yes, actually, I can't because Taryn. See, the problem is Taryn. It's not my kid. Taryn got a new job
she's
and a promotion and a whole thing, so it's harder for her to leave. And Wednesday, she's giving a big big presentation, so maybe
the
not.
The thing is starting at 6:30. I'm just getting there early for setup. Please come. Anybody else who wants to come out and join us, it's at the Torpedo Room. It's going to start at 6:30. It's going to be a great interview because it's Ken and Charlie. Like, how bad can that be?
Yeah.
And we're going to drink some good Sierra Nevada. But you can also find them all throughout SF Beer Week because they put Ken Grossman's original brew house on a trailer.
Right.
And they're driving it around to different locations. So you can go to SierraNevada.com/events and find out where to see the brew house. I think on Tuesday, they're brewing on it in front of the Torpedo Room.
Oh,
it's not just driving it around. They're brewing on it. And then on Wednesday, it'll also be there while we do the interview. And maybe we can taste wort or something.
I would love to do that.
Because you'll be there, obviously.
I would hope so.
Yeah, and your kid. All right, anyway, support us with all the things, Facebook, the stuff. Buy your tickets to Spring Brews Festival. That's happening March 28th. Teresa Pasuti's brewery is going to be there. I think that's all you need to know, really. She's California Brew Person of the Year, I think. Isn't that what you are?
Yeah, I got a little flag, I wave.
Do you know what beer you're going to bring yet? Is it going to be hazy? And then
I don't know. Gosh.
JP doesn't come to the festival, so you can bring whatever you want.
I don't go there, so you can do whatever you want.
I might
bring my hazy beer because that's my most popular beer.
I won't scream at you. I would say don't because you want to stand out.
I'll bring a beer that I actually want to drink. So
yeah.
That'd be good.
I love it. Get your tickets right now. You can just go to our website, thebrewingnetwork.com, get your tickets. They're $40 right now, but the price goes up because I'm an asshole. So buy them now.
What's the date?
Saturday, March 28th.
There you go.
It's our 11th year. I don't think JP's been since our second or third.
No, I went a couple years ago because my family went, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go hang out with them.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember seeing you.
Yeah.
I remember talking to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish you could have made that funnier.
I remember getting the text in the middle of all the craziness of, hey, me and Taryn, I think, are actually going to come. Can you sign us in?
Nope.
And then promptly ignoring it.
Yeah.
Nope. Literally, that didn't happen.
Did we make you buy tickets?
No, literally, that didn't happen. She didn't know. She's lying.
Because that would have been super fucked up, but not unexpected.
I'm not that much of a jerk.
Okay. I just want you to show up at the gate and be like, do you know who I am?
Yeah. And everyone's like, and Bevo's like, nope.
Yeah.
No.
I'll just give Bevo a low hug. It'll be fine.
Do we have a Twitter game today?
We do.
A Twitter game's brought to you today by the 21st Amendment. Sully owns it, and he's a nice person.
Yeah.
Go on.
So drink beer.
That's my read.
Well, I wrote this beforehand, but it's sort of coming out true. We're all in a great mood today.
I love it.
We're all operating at we're
peak.
Emotionally, we're tier one operators. We're at the prime, whatever.
For sure.
I think it's the perfect time
to
have the audience tell us what is the worst part of the Brewing Network.
Oh, my God. I don't want to. I'm sensitive.
We already have two new entries.
You've already got,
What do you got? What's the worst part of the Brewing Network?
Okay.
It shows. Whatever you want to talk about, tell us what the worst.
I'm hoping they will take this worst part and make it like secretly the best part, like you do in a job interview.
I hope the worst part is like
What's
when we go dry for a month. Like I feel like that's probably the worst part.
When Justin gets on the bandwagon of Dry January.
Are we all going to do it together next time?
Yeah.
Next time I decide to do a dry thing, are we going to all do it together? Bevo is saying no.
Honestly, I've thought about it, but then I'm like, well, then I don't want to make it seem like I'm doing it because Justin did it. But I've been thinking about doing it for like 2 years, and I'd never did it.
I think we should do it together.
I have to take an exemption for my birthday because my birthday is in January. So
okay.
We're gonna do it in January. We're gonna do a dry July. Yeah,
something like a really fun month,
like a week
to punish ourselves.
Yes,
that's good.
I wasn't saying no. I was saying sure, whatever.
You were.
Yeah.
Dry August. Nothing happens in August, but it's hot and you want to drink. So how about?
What's a month nobody cares? September, my birthday. Nobody gives a shit about September.
Yeah, September's
kind of
stupid, dude. Yeah.
It's like
September's like
October.
Getting ready for GABF.
I think GABF is in September.
Some serious beer
shit
going on
in September.
But anyway, there you go. Bring us down.
You give me a date. I have an excuse.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some feedback, which is also really long. So sorry, this is a long opening segment.
I didn't even. Put all the feedback. It's just too much.
Right? I love it. People are so fired up that the Brewing Network is hitting the road, and we're getting a lot of emails about that. And it's exciting. I'm telling you, it's our first show. This is our first show we've ever done.
People love it.
I'm back to that excitement. Cliff writes in, Justin and crew, I wanted to offer my brewery / house, because they're basically interconnected, as a refuge from the road if you find yourself in North Texas. While the brewery is still tiny and unremarkable, the North Texas brew scene as a whole is emerging, and it's great, and all this stuff. So
there's a good distillery up in North Texas. I forget the name now, but
North Texas Distillery.
I like Texas, even though their politics aside, I vibe with the Texans.
It's one of my first stops because we're going to the Craft Brewers Conference. Teresa Pasuti will be there with me. Bev is going this year.
What?
Yeah. Bev's my roomie.
Bev used to do all the fun.
I have to ask if that's okay.
Of course.
Good.
I think that Beardy is my roommate. I have to roommate with Beardy,
yay,
which I don't
Beardy.
Normally do. I'm like, no, I need my space. But
you know what you should do is
he reached out,
invite someone to stay in his room, and then kick him out.
That's happened before,
yeah, I know.
By the way. Anyway, Cliff, thanks for writing in. I'm going to be in Texas. I don't know if I'm going to be in North Texas, but thank you. Alec writes in from Wolves and People Farmhouse Brewery. That's a name. That's an actual.
Say it again.
Wolves and People.
Oh.
Farmhouse Brewery.
Nice.
What's up, y'all? He says, just a couple quick suggestions when you're on tour. Go to Hardywood in Richmond, Virginia.
That's me every morning, baby. Let's go.
And then he says,
I'm just kidding. I'm 42.
I laugh at Come all on. The penis jokes, really.
Then he gives a bunch of information about it that I don't care about. Then what else is he saying? Number two, Black Hoof Brewing in Leesburg, Virginia.
Well, I don't know.
It's a German-owned brewery that makes beer-flavored beer.
Okay, good.
So that's good.
I like that.
Anyway, thanks, buddy. Okay. Oh, that wasn't from Alec. That was an unnamed email. Alec is the one from Wolves and People. He says, hi, gang. Glad
Sorry
to hear
that.
Everyone's taking... Actually, this is what I read this earlier. This is one of my favorite pieces of feedback ever. Alex says, hi, gang.
Hi.
I'm glad to hear everyone is taking Justin's terminal state in stride. His feet, the balls, the liver, and now the mind. It's been hard to watch such a middling personality slowly fall apart. My heart goes out to him. Hashtag thoughts and prayers. Anyway, if the senile geezer ever makes it to the odd state of Oregon, he should come by Wolves and People Brewery. It's a century-old barn on a hazelnut farm. And I know he likes a good story. So blah, blah, blah. I mean, Alex not wrong. I have slowly been falling apart on this program. But in my defense... Since day one, I've been doing that.
Well, yeah, but I think that even lends more credence. Like you're gonna Thelma and Louise, but you won't have a Louise. You're gonna Thelma.
It's just lonely ass guy driving off a cliff.
Yeah, you're gonna blow Brad Pitt, and then you're gonna.
I will totally blow him again. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for your sentiments. He says, "P.S. Fuck you, JP."
Oh, thank you.
Wow, just positivity.
I know. Rob writes in, I don't want to read this one. He loves our sponsors, though. He says all our sponsors are cool. He bought some Duke Cannon, and he recently got the Perfect Package 3.0. I gave you, JP,
That's
the 3.0.
You did.
I don't even have it yet. It's that new.
Hell yeah.
But Rob supported our sponsors, Manscaped, of course, and got the 3.0. Rob. Send us a photo, like give us a dick pic, and let's see how it works.
That's right, baby.
You know
let's
what I mean?
Go.
It's you send it to dickpics@thebrewingnetwork.com. Bevo gets all the email, and she'll pass it along.
That's right. Bob, or she'll pass out.
Bob writes in, this is Bob from Munich.
You know.
Is that true? Is
Bob.
Is there a Bob in Munich?
There's got to be expats.
Bob is not a, right? There's not a German Bob. Is he?
Yeah,
he doesn't explain. He does say, a few years ago, I met a guy named Tim from Ohio who was also living in Munich. Okay. We brewed and drank together and became friends. He's since moved back to Maine with his wife.
I like how all of this could have been omitted. Hey, I know a guy.
I know. He even actually, he with his wife and his dog, and then he gives me the dog's name. The dog's name, by the way, is Remington Steele.
There you go.
Which is a good dog name.
It's a very most interesting thing about this thing so far.
He then opened a farm / brewery / goat school.
Wait.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Goat school, like so, teaching goats.
And it's
to
called
be
Turning Page
goats?
Farm, and you should go there. It's basically his whole fucking thing. That's what he's saying. He also says if you ever decide to open a hop grenade in Munich, look me up. You know why I can't? Because some fucking German dick fuck stole my logo and patented it in Munich. So,
they actually patented it.
And they've sent, or you know, trademark, whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
John
yeah.
knows. This whole segment is brought to you by the Beer Law
Center.
Thank you. So I can't open a hop grenade in Munich because of that fucking asshole. And that fucking asshole reached out to me and was like, hey, would it be cool if you let us trademark a hop grenade in the U.S. so we can sell our beer? Like, he's like, in the name of craft beer,
right,
spirit.
Right, yeah.
And I wrote back, in the name of craft beer, why don't you put your own penis in your butt and fuck off because and come up with your own logo.
That's all, dude. That's all breweries want to do these days. You see, there's some brewery released a can with literally the Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah.
As their label?
Revision Brewing. I know. They're on tonight.
Is it really them? Because I will literally fight them.
Yeah. No, it's not them.
That shit pisses me off so much, dude. It makes me angry.
Yeah. All right. I got to skim through this shit, man. Hey, Justin, come to Crystal Lake Brewing in Illinois. Cool. I'll think about that. Longtime listener. I'm in New York, Watertown, New York, just south of the Canadian border. Come to see me. That's from Daniel. All right, brother. I like that idea. I have to pass by there anyway. So that sounds cool. Rhode Island Red says, this one's weird. Hi, BN crew. I recently sunk to a low point in my life. While listening to recent episodes, I found myself intrigued by the state of Justin's skin from not drinking beer. Because remember, Sully came in and said, like, oh, your skin looks better?
Yeah, honestly, you look awesome. You look like you've lost 10 pounds and, like...
I think I lost some pounds. Yeah. Thank you, Teresa.
I can't see it.
He says, everyone keeps commenting on it, and I had never done it before, but I thought since you have a live stream video and a webcam, I decided to go watch it. Not knowing what Justin's skin looked like, I wanted to see. It's a new low point. So I creeped you all, and guess what? Justin's skin does look really nice.
Wow.
And knowing that I think about that makes me feel like even more of a creep.
Yeah, well, you know.
Is it just the lack of beer, or did Duke Cannon sneak in some special face cream for their promo packages? Good job on the show and the beer hiatus, blah, 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 from Rhode Island Red. No, it's just was the not drinking. I'm not even showering more than... Like, I didn't change any other habits, which are, like, I don't shower often, and no other habits changed.
Your skin doesn't really look that... It doesn't look that good where I would
Why do you have to take the one thing away that I feel is positive about?
Sorry, man.
Like, Teresa said, my skin looks nice, and I trust her.
She's your favorite. I'm just glad nobody's commenting about my skin. I don't want any comments regarding my skin or... Any other things.
Sure.
Or any other thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we always say we'll read all your feedback, but actually I'm lying. Sometimes we don't.
Yeah. I'm fine with somebody
commenting
on your skin.
Also, yeah. I didn't know that my skin was bad before, so it's not, it's a bit of a backhanded compliment.
I don't think it really was.
The things I know, like, that are wrong with me, that wasn't one of them.
I think it just looks the same.
You're just glowing a little more than before.
Thank you, Teresa.
Shining bright.
Hot Rod writes in, says, come to Huntsville, Alabama. There's a bunch of breweries there. Somebody else without a name says, come to St. Louis. Actually, several people said come to St. Louis, which might happen. And I might go there with Tasty. Tasty's from Missouri, isn't he?
Sure.
Okay, that's it. I can't do it anymore. Let's take a break. And when we come back, who's on the show today, Bevo?
Revision. You have to repeat their names?
Revision Brewing Company?
Yeah.
What are their names? So let's train me now.
It's Jeb, Jeremy, and starts with a D.
Darla.
Thank you, Teresa.
Even in my notes, it's wrong. Dick Mergens is still in my notes. Wasn't that like a show? Wasn't that show like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I went to the hospital for that.
There's no Dick on this show, right?
No
Dicks.
No.
Just Jeremy and Jeb and Darla.
And Darla.
From Revision Brewing Company, we will be back in just a few minutes. I'm going to go have a beer.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're tuned into The Session.
Because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're doing great in here, JP.
We're doing amazing.
Yeah, this is our best show ever. Yeah. It's like it's our first show again, and we have our special guest, Revision Brewing Company, and I couldn't be more excited.
Howdy, howdy.
And you know what you guys have to deal with? I just came off of sober Justin January, and I'm now drunk Justin January.
He's back.
I'm back, and I did that for you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I did it because the last time I saw you wasn't all that different. We were hanging out at the Great American Beer Festival, and you fine people had rented a house or some shit somewhere in Denver.
Yes. Lead brewer Mike, actually, per Jeremy's instructions, had us get a house because it just had everyone together and
way
we could
better
cook breakfast, get a keg of Prost Helles.
What brought us there. I was hanging out with Teresa, and somebody had said, hey, we have Prost Helles, and Teresa were like, cool, we just invited ourselves.
Yeah, we walked for like 2 miles to get to that house.
It was a long walk.
I think it was like 10 minutes.
It was awesome.
Long sounds about
right. It was like 5 to 10 miles.
But we're lazy. Yeah, we're so lazy that we're like, fuck this. Except Prost Helles. Yeah. However, I think I only had one Prost Helles, and then I drank your beer in cans for the rest of the night. So
exactly.
You guys were fully stocked up, and you make wonderful beer. So, let's get into it. We have Jeb and Jeremy here, both co-founders of Revision. And when did you guys open?
We opened first brew March of 2017.
Okay,
we actually started writing the business plan in August of 2015, about a month and a half after I left Knee Deep Brewing.
Were you at Knee Deep together? Is that how you knew each other?
Yes. I met Jeb. He was one of the first brewers we hired at Knee Deep Brewing,
okay,
other than myself.
And you immediately started this plan to do your own thing?
No. Okay. No. There was never a plan to do Revision. It became something that I started thinking about probably during the last 6 months of while I was still at Knee Deep. And, you know, I was kind of like, hey, it's time for me to go. And go work on some other things and part ways. And it wasn't until after I left, I get this awesome email from Jeb saying, hey, what are you working on?
Really? So it wasn't like, hey, it's time for me to go and I'm taking people with me. It wasn't like that.
Who wants to come with me?
Yeah. Hey, man, where are you going? Can I come?
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
He did.
How I ended up with JP, actually. He was like, hey, this podcast thing sounds fun. Can I come?
Yeah. And you're like, Who are you again?
So that's actually what happened. You called and were like, hey, are you going to open a brewery? Are you starting something?
Yeah. He gave me a chance to brew without any professional experience back in the day. And I had come with a resume that included some CDs that I had recorded on. I used to play bass a lot.
Okay.
Jip.
This was part of your resume. Okay.
And some home brews, and basically like, hey, how's it going, man? I'd love to brew. And after interviewing me, he gave me a shot, taught me how to brew. It was crazy. We jumped right in, and he gave me a chance. And
wow.
Yeah. It was.
So let me tell you something I already don't like about the two of you. I'm reading through my notes, and Jeremy's title is like brewmaster, and Jeb's title is head brewer, and I can't figure out what the fuck the two of you do. You're like this team that you gave each other almost the same title.
Exactly. And that's what Revision's about, is we're all brewers there.
Cool. You know,
we're a brewer-owned brewery. Everyone has an unbelievable passion about beer and craft beer.
Okay.
And we were able to put together a very diverse team to allow people to focus on what they love to do and contribute to in this industry. Which is beer. And so for Jeb and I, there's a lot of things that just overlap. But
okay,
we both love beer and putting new things together.
And you both work together on what your beers are going to be and the recipes and all of that. So even though you guys did do that, I'm making fun of you a little bit with the titles, but you both are in charge of the beer in that sense, right? You work together.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And you weren't a brewer before, Jeb?
I was a home brewer like him. So, of course, like so many before us, started home brewing and then freaked out about it and just had to take it to the limit one more time.
Got it.
There you go.
Okay. So no professional brewing experience other than knee-deep before.
Correct. For me, yeah. I think this guy.
But
did.
Jeremy, you?
Yeah. I started Knee-Deep Brewing Company in 2009, 2010 out of my garage in Reno, Sparks, Nevada. And I was actually brewing some of the – it was when we called it Knee-Deep Beer Company at the time.
Okay.
And I was originally brewing those beers at a now-defunct brewery called Mount Tilak Brewing in South Lake Tahoe, California. Eventually, we had to move away from there. We were doing some batches over at Sudworks with Jay at the time when he was the brewmaster there.
Jay is fantastic.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
Amazing guy.
Yeah.
From there, then we moved over to Devil's Canyon back when they were in Belmont.
Okay.
And that was the time frame where we realized that if we wanted to be successful in this industry, we needed to have a place of our own so we had total control of what was going on. And that was when my previous business partner heard about Beerman's Brewery in Lincoln, California. And so we were able to make a deal with the owner of that place, and we didn't want the restaurant. We just leased the 960-square-foot
brewery. Okay.
And we packaged 2,100 barrels of beer out of there.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. It was you had to be a ninja.
Yeah, the building was from the mid-1800s. It still stands, but the ceilings were maybe 12, 13 feet high. The mobile bottling line, when it was there, was right in between the tanks where you couldn't walk around it, so you had to duck under. And it was one of those things. There was no office. So there was, like, you wanted to sit down, you turned over a bucket and sat on the brew deck. Yeah, that's where we come from. Like grinding it out and rocking it out and trying to make it happen.
Okay. Yeah, it's when it would be about 105 out in Lincoln, you still went outside to cool off.
Okay, wow.
It was crazy. People would come by and be like, "Hey, how's it going, man? You're making beer? That's awesome. But wow, well, you know, that's great." And meanwhile, there's like steam coming down from the ceiling.
Oh my God.
Shoveling out hot mash, sweat pouring out.
And what's awesome about this?
Yeah. Like, can we stop talking now?
My skin is bubbling.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys used to sell your beer like out the back of Beerman's?
We did. When we got our conditional use permit there, we forgot about, there was no room for a tap room.
Yeah.
So we actually had to go back and say, "Hey, we want to sell beer off the loading dock in the alley." So no one, you didn't walk into the brewery. You didn't even walk up on the loading dock. We were just literally selling beer right off there.
And just right there.
The police was like, "Hey, this is, you guys can do this, but do not give anyone beer in their car."
Okay. Yeah, this is not. By the way, in Arizona and Nevada, you can drive through at the liquor store. They're like, "This is not." Wait, was this Nevada?
No, this was in Lincoln, California.
Oh, okay, it wasn't Reno. Okay.
Yeah, and so loading dock, like half the square footage of this corner. Like there was really only room for four people to stand.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So this is about 2012. This is in some ways like kind of early days now of the, or mid days of the craft beer boom.
Yeah. Get it right. Get it exact.
Yeah. Yeah. Early mid.
The leading early, edge, mid, mid, you might
early.
Say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I, and I don't want to, I don't, we don't need to go into it because I want to talk about Revision, but Knee Deep still exists and you started that company, but you decided at some point you needed to do something else.
I did. You know, when I decided to get into the beer business, I had no idea what I was doing.
Okay.
But I did know there was a few things that I wanted to do, and Knee Deep grew very rapidly. We got to a point where, you know, I kind of saw the writing on the wall and I was like, "Hey, if I want to complete what I originally started to do, I needed to part ways." And it was really about that creative freedom.
You felt more like a home brewer in that sense, I think, than like, "Oh, we have to be a big craft beer brand."
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. And it was really about, "Hey, man, what's next, man? I love getting into the R&D side of brewing and also having a say in, you know, what we're going to do. What is the company?"
Was that scary for you, though? Because Knee Deep was a successful brand, and then you're going to leave that and start again in a competitive market. Did you have some anxiety about that?
Oh, yeah. I remember Blair Robinson from the Sacramento Bee interviewed me on my way out, and he's like, "What are you doing? Like, you can just walk in here, throw your feet on the desk, and not have to worry about anything." And I go, "Yeah, but that's not why I'm here."
Okay.
And when I did leave, I would say while we were writing the business plan, I couldn't sleep.
Like, really?
And as we got closer to opening revision, it was like, shit.
Yeah, man.
And then
it's nerve wracking.
Yeah, first batch came out, tasted the beer, and I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
You made the right move.
So, all right. I don't know as much about you guys and your beer as my staff does, but we carry your stuff. And whenever it comes in cans, it's gone like that. So people talk about your beer. You have that going for you. So in other words, yeah, you did do the right thing.
Thank you.
But that's so nerve wracking. I wouldn't have done it. I've been like, fuck that. I got a paycheck and I'm lazy and I need to do this now.
Oh, man. It was tough, man, because when we left, we were fortunate that we had a lot of our hop suppliers actually allow us to sign contracts. And we were looking for a building in West Sacramento. That's where we were originally supposed to build. And, you know, we thought the finding the money for this operation was going to be the most difficult part, was the easiest.
Really?
It was just finding the right building.
That's interesting.
Oh, it was crazy. And eventually...
Is that because of Knee Deep, because of the background?
Do
you think that
absolutely.
The financing was easier because they trusted you?
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But at the time, I didn't really... put that together. And
sure.
But man, we would try to convince these building owners to let us do these projects, and it was just not working out. And
building owners suck. They're such a disaster. They're a disaster. If you find a good one,
yep.
you know it, right? Because they're like, hey, oh, you're going to make money and I'm going to make money? Great, go.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because when we went and scouted out some places up in Reno Sparks, the first place we looked is the place we're at.
Okay.
Our general contractor is our building owner, and it is the perfect relationship.
Okay. That's
lucky
awesome.
That happened.
Yeah. That is luck. That's good luck.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about beer. Revision IPA is in our glass, right? Is that our first beer that we're trying, Bev? Revision IPA, tell us about this.
This is the Revision IPA. It's our core year-round beer, 6.5%. This is going to be Citra, Mosaic, Simcoe. Just beautiful. I love the way it finishes.
Your first beer?
This was one of our – it's funny you ask. So this beer was actually a three-part experiment for me that started at my previous brewery.
Okay.
And so the first version of my experiment was I was trying to understand the way certain hops and malts would work together. I was really trying to – recreate my favorite IPA, but without cloning it. I didn't want to clone a beer. I wanted to clone the experience.
I see.
And so the very first one that I created was is now Breaking Bud from Knee Deep Brewing Company.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then the second one I did, if you were to look it up, it's called Breaking Bud V2. Complete different hop malt character. And then when we started Revision, it was an opportunity for me to take what I learned from those two batches to actually complete my experiment. And so we brewed Revision IPA. We drove the keg down to the Bistro IPA Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Won a gold with it. And it was awesome because Breaking Bud also medaled as well.
Wait. That's not this year.
No.
This but didn't you just win yesterday, too?
Yes. Yeah.
You won this year also?
For the double IPA, yeah.
What did you win this year?
This year we got the silver for the Revision DIPA.
Oh, my gosh. Look at you guys. Well done.
Yeah. This was
a couple years ago you're talking about with this
so
one.
The first batch was... It was definitely 2017 when we brewed it in
April.
Yeah, around April.
It's so. Why is it all clear and crystal clear and like an?
Yeah, I don't understand.
What happened, guys?
I wouldn't put a lawn chair out around the corner for 10 years like, before to get this in a can. I would never do that.
Yeah, what happened?
I love clear beer.
So yeah, and I can tell you do. It's so good.
Back in the day, Jeremy was like, well. I think I'd like it brilliantly clear. And so back in the day when we were still kind of growing and learning and experimenting with techniques of how to do that, we were doing all sorts of crazy things like filtering twice. And the beer was so brilliantly clear. He's like, yeah, man, that is what we should do. So basically perfecting.
I love this distinction that you... And it's stupid that we have to say this now.
Yeah.
You could have said in past times, I would like clear beer. But no, you have to go, I want brilliantly clear beer. Yeah. That's and it is. It's that.
Yeah.
So you filtered it twice.
Yeah. So well, that's a double filtration now.
Okay. Pretty on perfecting that technique. Jeremy's spearheaded over the years to get what we get, but in a much easier way.
Okay. Because you don't want to strip. You risk filtering too much. You're risking stripping flavors and hop material.
Oh, yeah.
Out,
what so. About that? Do you feel like you lost something because of that?
You know, it's interesting you ask that because we have tried not doing what we created on getting that beer super clear to see, like, hey, what are we losing?
Yeah.
We actually preferred it this way.
The things you lose, you want to lose.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't really have an answer for that, but
so you didn't. Did you find that you would maybe build the recipe to come out after filtration the way that you wanted?
Yeah,
so maybe
that's how it was.
A little more hops or something like that, because you know that would come through.
Correct.
All right. Interesting.
That's a nice beer.
To me, this is like a desert island IPA.
Right?
Like, seriously. It's so clear, so flavorful, low in alcohol. It's just
Is this your best seller?
It is.
Yeah.
It's our number one seller right here.
Even now. Even still.
Even now.
Like,
it's not low
alcohol. We're having to do a SKU reduction now just to maintain
the
volume.
Relatively speaking.
Relatively, yeah.
And the gold at the World Beer Cup did help, too.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. What percent is it?
6.5
Okay.
Do you find that we've talked in the past about, you know, breweries using the GABF medals in their marketing. Do you find that, like, World Beer Cup or Bistro Festival medals sort of give you more recognition than GABF?
I think so. In my opinion, I value the Bistro medals more than a GABF medal.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's catapulted some recognitions to go to Vic and Cynthia for Russian River back in the day.
Yeah, sure.
And then... You know,
and you know what? I think you're right in the because I know Vic too and what he's done there. The Bistro, by the way, is like this hole in the wall.
Oh my god, it's nothing.
Right?
Yeah,
but their events are they have this prestige. And because I respect him, when I hear a brewer that won there, I'm more likely to book them on the show.
Right on.
So that's like cool. By the way, that I just found out today, Teresa told me, but like in the past, a brewery that I might not have thought twice about, if they win at the Bistro, I'm like, okay, well, they're doing something right.
Yeah, and that's what you do. And one of the things I love about going there is, one, trying all the beers and watching a lot of the other brewers win and really getting to see what's going on and definitely take pride in that.
Were you there? Did you all go to the...
I was.
The other cool thing about it. I think brewers all go, and I think that's fun, too.
No, it was awesome because I was trying a lot of the beer. I kind of came incognito this year.
Okay.
People were calling me out on that, and I was like, well, I really just wanted to try as much beer as I can before you guys knew I was here.
Did you walk around and try to
like,
taste without being seen?
Yeah, I had
seen?
My sunglasses on.
Really?
My track jacket, you know, just no hat.
That's funny.
Track suit? You went in a track suit?
Well, I had my like Adidas little jumpsuit on.
You know? Stop it, JP.
Yeah.
No. Don't encourage him in his track.
I almost wore my tracksuit today.
I've been waiting for the tracksuit, man. I can't wait for
it. I'll do it next week.
I've seen the tracksuit many times.
I'm not going to be here next week.
I like this, though, because you just wanted to try the beer without being bothered for a minute.
Exactly. You know, it's one of the things is I'm not a person where I'm not going to talk to you because we're here because of all the customers. But in an event like that, like, man, I got to try this. You know, I want to see what other people are doing. And this
That's
year,
funny.
I didn't think we were going to win.
Okay.
Like, there's some really good beers there.
Well, why didn't you think? Because you believed in your beer, obviously.
Absolutely.
But you're saying the competition was fierce.
It was fierce, man. Okay. I think it was number 70. I think it was Green Cheeks double IPA.
They're a great brewery.
Amazing.
Yeah. Really.
I'm like, so to go down that line and if I was judging what I would have picked, again, I love our beer.
Who would have won?
Yeah, like boom.
No, who would have won it?
I
want to know.
I'm going to call you out on this now. I think you would have picked your being modest.
Probably
would. You still would have put your beer in the top, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, just what gets me now is, hey, man, there's so much awesome beer now.
Yeah.
So it's really about what's different about that. Like what new hop did they throw in there? Jeb brewed an amazing beer using Samba. And when it came out, I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
What hop did you use? And that proprietary blend is amazing right now.
You know, okay, and so there's luck involved, right? But, like, do you remember when Firestone just dominated the GABF for,
like
5 years?
Every year.
Right, they just killed it. And so we could talk about luck, and we can talk about how the judges, you know, it's arbitrary. But when you then win consistently like that, it's not luck, right? Like, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what we kind of want to be for sure. Like,
yeah.
We want to be with the way that we used to look at Firestone, like, oh, those guys again, man. Like,
and that's what I'm saying about you, is that it's not just luck that you're up against. You spend time thinking about, why are those beers great, and what can I do to make it my beers that way? And then you win more than once at the bistro and everywhere else, too, because you're paying attention.
Well, at the last World Beer Cup, you know, they went up there for single IPA.
Yeah.
And they couldn't even sit down because they won again for double.
Because it kept, yeah. And then I'm like, what the fuck? Really? Single and double? And I'm giving you props in the sense that, and it's okay to be modest, but that stuff's deliberate. And it also means that you're paying attention and you know what you're doing with your beer, right? Yep.
Always working on it. And also definitely have to shout out to our team, Brewer Mike, Sellerman Sam, our head Sellerman, and Marty on packaging.
What about
and
Darla? What did she do over there? Darla's in the studio with us. She doesn't want to be on the microphone, so I'm just throwing her under the bus.
Marketing and sales.
Okay.
Yeah. She does a whole lot of stuff, not only from events, but
she got a good team.
All the labels and a variety of...
Let's not forget, she's the one that holds this team together, too.
We all need that. Bevo also does that, even though we don't want it.
It's true.
We'd rather fall apart.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Honestly, this might be the last time I try. You guys are just killing me.
I know, this show, right? What's the second beer in our glass? This is your collaboration, right? That you just did with...
Yeah, with Belching Beaver. So this is a single hazy IPA. Yeah, with Samba, the blend at about 30%, and a
hazy, by the way.
About three other hops in the mix as well.
Mm-hmm. You guys were just friends before. How do you know the Belching Beaver?
About a year ago, Thomas, I believe, reached out to us, and Darla and I actually went down and did a test batch of the beer that we brewed with Belching Beaver at their facility, which is Melty Hops.
Okay.
A year ago, and then we finally... took that to production at Belching Beaver, and so that's kind of where the relationship started from. But you know, this just where those conversations come. You know, Thomas Peters went in the Alpha King Challenge. Guy's an amazing brewer. Definitely knows how to throw down a lot of that West Coast style, and so it was amazing to be able to kind of pick each other's brain and brew two different styles.
Sure. And you're a hophead. I mean, you're not shy about that. You're
no,
a hophead.
I love my hops.
Yeah. That's a nice hoppy beer. It doesn't drink much like a hazy. If I were blind, I wouldn't have, blind tasting.
Of course,
thank you, JP. I would have thought that it could have been the clear beer, too.
Yeah, because it's not like that pillowy round that you mm-hmm. would think about from a hazy beer, but that's okay because there's too much of that out there anyways.
Which one do you like better, the regular IPA or the collab? Come on. Come on.
Probably the regular, I guess, if you had to shoot me in the face.
If you had to decide?
Yeah.
What hops are in the collab?
The collab?
That's Samba, Citra Mosaic, and Simcoe, and a little bit of Motueka.
And what'd you say in the IPA? Citra Mosaic and something. What's the third one in the regular?
Simcoe.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's a nice beer.
Yeah.
I like this. This is on tap at the Hop Grenade, folks.
Whoa,
if you want to come.
Where's that?
Try that out here in Concord, California. That's a good beer. How many do you guys have flagships other than your IPA, or is it like rotation nation for you?
No, we do have flagships. So we do about 50% of our, actually it's 50-50. Last year it was about 55-45. About 50% of our production is clear beer, and that will consist of the Revision IPA, our Revision DIPA, our Citrus Slam, our Dr. Lupulin, and our Blonde.
Wow.
And we're getting ready to introduce...
And your Blonde.
Blonde, yeah.
That's a big seller.
Well, wow. It is, and but we're getting ready to start a new lager program with Mike. But the whole reason why we did the whole Blonde is when we opened our brewery in Sparks, you got to keep in mind, a lot of the people didn't even know what craft beer was, and people were coming in like,
yeah.
What is this? And
yeah.
So we were kind of...
Can I play Keno here?
Yeah. Right?
I'll run my numbers here.
I'm in.
Uh-huh. So we were kind of like forced to come to the table and find something, and that's why we call it Blonde NV.
Yeah. I like it. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
All right.
And when we come back, I like that you just said we're starting a new lager program. And I want to find out,
too.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
I was just talking to somebody yesterday that, you know, in 05 when we started,
mm-hmm.
I tried every craft brewer's lager and they were never good. Like one out of 20 was good.
Yeah.
And I love now that you have all figured out how to make lagers. and it's now a craft thing. Like, I can now, I was even set, I said, you know, I fell in love with Gordon Biersch in the beginning. Everyone's like, why do you love Gordon Biersch? Because they make a fucking fantastic lager.
Yeah.
And at the time, nobody could do that. So I want to talk to you about that. And it's like a trend now, right?
Uh-huh.
People are making lagers.
Yeah, 100%.
Which I like.
I love it.
We'll be right back. Hang in there.
We haven't had this much fun since Doc fell off a stripper pole.
The Brewing Network.
All right, welcome back to the program, and thanks for hanging out with us. We are having a lot of fun in the studio with Revision Brewing Company, and we're now hanging out with Nick from Revision, who got me and Teresa hammered at the Great American Beer Festival.
Good job, bud.
Fond memories. Fond memories.
Good time. Hey, let me
turn that. Try that mic again, Nick. Let's see.
There, we go.
There you time. Are. There it was time. A good time. And luckily, it was after the GABF was over. Like, we weren't at the session. So, in other words...
After wrestling.
After wrestling, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was... It was an epic evening.
It was a lot of fun. And you did it right, is what I'm saying. Because had you gotten us drunk, and then we had to go to work at GABF, then I'd be mad at you.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I can't be mad at you.
Well, we threw out that we had a keg of Prost Hellas at the house.
And we all
how
followed.
Do you say no to that?
We none of... Yeah, we were then just, yeah.
Yeah, we were like, you had me at prison.
Yeah. So Nick is here not just because he's a gentleman and partied with us, but because he brought the lager from Revision, which we want to talk about, and that's in our glass now. This was just rolling around the back of your truck?
You
pull
know,
that microphone close to your face, will you?
When I headed down today, I knew I had to bring a little DOSFest. There's very little okay. in existence right now. There's
nicely
more
done.
Coming out soon. But.
Is this a packaged beer? Yeah. Like
yes.
you sell it in cans?
Yes.
Okay.
Four packs.
And four packs.
Four packs.
But it's new for you guys.
October we came out with it?
September, October. So okay. Bottom of the can says best before January something. So this is definitely past its prime. But we don't think so.
It is not.
I don't really feel like a fest beer has a expiration date.
No.
Like, it really can have some shelf life.
Okay, but that's, I mean... I'm sorry if this sounds obvious, but that's like what a lager is, right? It's supposed
yeah.
to be lagered. And
uh-huh.
so if your packaging techniques are good
yep.
and it's not being oxidized or other issues, then older is okay.
Absolutely.
All
yeah.
right.
But for us, having really only focused on really hop-forward beers...
It's a great beer.
This is definitely uncharted territory for us.
And this is our first lager we ever did.
Really?
Yeah.
How long?
Really?
And is it a proper lager?
School.
You didn't like short? You didn't like
no.
fermented
this,
warm?
This beer didn't move till it told us it was ready.
How yeah. long was it in the tank?
Six weeks.
It was yeah. 6 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, you can taste it.
Yeah.
It's smooth.
Yeah.
It's round.
It's really nice.
Old school German malts, German hops, German yeast. Like, everything is just old school. How can we try to make a beer like Prost, which is trying to make a beer like it was in Germany? Like,
yeah.
How can yeah. we do that?
Did you do that in the mash tun too then? Did you? Is it a German, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, like, so we don't have that. We don't have a steam jacketed mash tun.
Okay.
So we did a single infusion.
I did a show a couple years ago with Prost and, I'm not going to remember their name and they're going to hate me for it. They're both in Colorado. And one of them does decoction and all that, and yep. the other one doesn't. But all the ingredients are German, and I put them on the show together just to talk about the differences.
Yeah.
They were both wonderful beers. There were some subtle differences if you decoction mash, right?
Yep.
But I still loved the other beer. So you guys don't do that?
No.
Okay.
We Americanized it.
Yeah.
Single
That's
infusion.
Okay.
Single infusion.
Okay. But German malt.
Oh, yeah. Okay. German malt, German hops, like old school yeast.
Yeah.
And the
what
process.
What are the hops?
Tetanang.
Just Tetanang.
Yeah.
All the way through?
Yeah.
Okay. And no dry hopping?
Nope.
Yeah. So
and
proper.
We kept, when we were looking at the recipe, we kept going... Lower IBUs, less IBUs. I think it's like calculated maybe 12, and we're like, no, too much.
Really?
Yeah, we wanted to the yeast to.
What
shine.
Did you calculate?
So we on our software program, it was like I think 14, and we brought it down to somewhere around 12.
Okay.
But yeah, it's right in there. So I think calculated and perceived is always different. Perceived is always higher. The way our system and software kind of. Coexist.
Yeah.
So it's right around, it's probably about 15 IBU. We also noticed that over the years we've had our beer analyzed for IBU and it's always wildly
right?
different. Yeah. We're like,
yeah. calculated versus actual. Right. Is
yeah,
way
versus perceived. Yeah. Yeah, like three different levels of IBUs. But the goal was we want the yeast to shine. Like, or actually, how can we make as much of an old school German lager as we can in America?
Yeah. But you need a firm bitterness, even though it's a German lager. So even if you're trying to make the yeast shine, it can't be like malty sweet. You still need a firm.
They need to complement each other.
Yeah.
The balance, as is often used, but not so much expressed.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for.
What's the yeast?
Old school German one.
Just like Weinstefan. Just like the Weinstefan.
It's proprietary.
Is it?
Oh, no. Yeah. So,
Nick's great grandfather from Germany. Actually, it was actually one of the first successful yeast harvests from a beard from his grandfather in Germany.
Can I say, this is not a real story. This is not a real.
I just know how much your listeners love the word proprietary.
Yeah. And they're like, wow, that interview was awesome until then.
That one made me start sweating.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you guys use a bunch of different yeast in general in the brew house, or you have like a something all the time?
We do. We have our like house yeast that we use for the bulk of our year-round beers. We were juggling two different yeast strains for a short period for hazy beers, really just trying to figure out which strain worked best, kind of like if you were to compare like Vermont against a London 3 and what kind of differences you would have. And then now we're juggling two different lager yeast. One he's talking about, and right now we just put a Mexican lager in a tank. So,
nice.
So nothing special about that other than
I like that
just a nice traditional Mexican lager yeast out of Mexico City.
So I apologize or don't apologize, but of the two IPAs I just had, I'm loving this lager better. This is my go-to beer right now. This is my new revision go-to.
Let's go.
You like it, right?
I love it.
It is traditional. It's
like
very
the other
clean.
Two beers never happened. That's what I really appreciate about it.
Right. Sorry, Belching Beaver. Your collab was awesome.
JP, I brought this one for you.
Well, then why are we sharing
and then
with
you
everybody
left,
else?
And then he left it in the truck because he wasn't sure
around.
If he liked you yet.
I don't even know that.
So. Lager appropriate.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about the lagers? Jeb was just sharing a story with me when the hops came in for this. And it was something about 1.4% alpha on that.
Yeah, we started like, freaking
is that even
out.
A hop?
Yeah,
right.
So some of those German hops are killing me lately.
Yeah, we actually switched. So we were freaking out about hop mass in the kettle. We're like, that's too much.
Yeah.
Vegetal matter, like holy crap, we can't like hop it in the kettle like an IPA. It just doesn't seem right. There could be a carryover of something that we don't want. So fortunately, actually, our man Brian at 5050 Brewing hooked us up with the tightening that he had in house. And so Brewer Mike is super awesome. He ran up to grab the hops like the day before brewing, brought them down, and that's what we used.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What? So the hop matter, you're saying that you would get off flavors from too much vegetal?
It's such a delicate beer. It's something that we didn't want to risk.
Okay.
I think sometimes with too much hop matter and too many hops, obviously there's more bitterness, but something just seemed like there was a chance that it couldn't go well. And we're not
also
to make
it's
sure
there for like the whole boil, which is not common anymore, is it?
Yeah.
Everything goes in at the end now.
Yeah.
But you have to have hops in there the whole fucking time.
Yeah, you throw in that 60-minute dish. Yeah,
like a real brewery.
60-minute what? That's when you know you're reading an old homebrew book when it says 60 minutes.
It says 60. Yeah.
This must be backwards.
What? I have to throw this in right now? Shit.
What are you crazy about? It's actually my nap time.
Yeah, Nick's like, there's a typo in this. I think you meant to say 10.
Yeah. Or 6. I don't know.
Yeah, where did 6 come from?
Yeah. Wow. All right, so that's so funny that you had to think about that. And you're like, wait, that's a lot of hops. That's a lot of vegetal matter. And we don't want it to.
Yeah, we freak out about all sorts of stuff. Like, Jeremy was the first person to introduce scientific level deometer in the brewery.
Okay, yeah.
Way back in the day, we were like, "What's this thing?"
Dissolved oxygen.
Yeah.
Well,
so basically,
any listeners,
it's true what they say that packaging can kind of ruin beers, particularly like cans and bottles. And it also depends on the line and how it's treated. But we didn't know until we started measuring, and then he was on it and wanting to make sure that basically the beer tastes as good for as long as possible.
Okay.
That's you know, not right from the right tank. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great beer. Okay, so you mentioned before the break, like, that this is a new program. You now have a lager program. What does that mean?
What that means is starting in the month of February, we're going to be launching our first ever year-round lager.
Okay.
Premium American lager. It's called RBL.
JP just became a Revision fan. Yeah. Until now, he didn't give a fuck about you guys.
I forgive you.
It's the best thing to come out of Nevada
since gambling.
Legalized
prostitution.
Prostitution delivered syphilis. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, are these microphones coronavirus free?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I'm drinking a lot. Like,
Moon howdy.
Yeah, so this is a huge deal for us. You know, with Mike, when I was in GABF with him 2 years ago, we were at Prost because I wanted to introduce him to the brewmaster. Well, it turns out that they studied together. So they were, I think, at Siebel in Germany. And, you know, Dr. Mike came out that night, and we'll let him tell his story on that later. But, you know, I kind of asked the question, like, what's your jam? You know,
okay.
And it's lagers, you know. And,
yeah.
There was a day I called him in the office and I said, hey, here's our brew production schedule. I'd like you to brew your first lager here.
Nice.
Just make it happen.
Okay.
And he did such an amazing job putting everything together, working with Jeb, that I was able to put a beer together and he made me look good.
Yeah.
And people love it. And then we made a decision internal, like, this kind of brought us back to who we were, like, why we're here today. Like, we can't turn our backs to that. And so we had to put a lot of planning together, change our production schedule, and we're excited to launch this. So the goal is to have a year-round of the RBL. We also have a beer called Casual.
Is that this one? This is RBL?
No, this is DOSFest. We did rebrew this one. That'll be packaged so we can actually enter this in the World Beer Cup.
Oh, nice.
Nice. There we go.
I'll be broadcasting those awards. Good luck, my friends.
It'll be, for me, it'll be nice to see where that comes in against some of the best breweries in the world.
And in recent years, the World Beer Cup, it's been exciting to see American brewers win in the lager categories.
Right. Wow. You know? Whoa. How MAGA.
Was that racist?
Chill out. I mean, I know these guys are from Nevada, but you don't got to play them. Okay. Chill out a little
you're right.
bit.
You're right. I'm sorry.
It's like you know my neighbors.
Yeah.
I argue with them on Twitter. I know them very well.
Here, let me get my box of hats out. Put one on.
We should get Mala hats. Make America lager again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make beer clear again.
Yeah.
But that is a point I was kind of making before, is that, like, yeah, for a long time, I'm sorry, but American craft brewers just weren't making great lagers, and I think I think we are now.
Well, I think
you
it's,
are.
It's that it was always, in my opinion, the tank turnaround time was always like the barrier you had to break through. But I think now there's so many breweries, I think you have to do it to set yourself apart, because you don't want to make an IPA. Like, you don't want to be an IPA brewery, because when people move on to something else, what are you going
to
be doing?
Well,
I don't think it's a have to thing. I think it's a want to thing. Mm-hmm. Because
I think
notice, like, we all love to drink lager. Like,
it's happening not because consumers started the trend. I think it's happening because brewers started the trend and consumers are cool with it.
No, I agree. But it sort of goes along the line of the what's next population.
Yeah.
Where we've sort of almost wiped out, and I don't drink these fucking beers, so I don't know. You guys tell me if I'm wrong, but we sort of like hit the limit of, well, here's what hazy beers taste like. They're kind of like a narrow range.
Sure.
And so if customers want, well, what do you have next? This is good. I've had 12 IPAs from you. What's next?
Here's a German
lager.
Here's
a lager. Here's a porter. Here's a red ale at 5%. Mm-hmm. Here's a thing. And so I think the lagers resonate with the brewing community, and also the consumers like it too, because it gives them a little respite.
And because they're not fucking it up. Because if your theory is correct, that a customer's like, hey, what else is next?
Yeah.
And you give them a shitty lager because you didn't figure out how to do it right.
Yeah.
You've like lost them. They're like, cool, then I'll just go back to Hazy's all the time.
Right.
But if you give them a proper lager, then they're thankful.
Well, it was interesting. 2 years ago, I was at the San Diego International Beer Fest, and we went down there. We won a gold for our IPA, which was awesome. But what I really took away from that competition is when they were doing the awards, the second most entered category was lagers.
Okay,
this was coming out of San Diego 2 years ago. So yeah. I was like, Darla, like,
interesting.
Like,
just,
you got to kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And I think you're right. You know, I think it really started originating. The brewers were bringing it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so it was interesting to see about that. You know, one of the things I like about Revision is we don't chase trends. Mm. We only brew what we're interested in. So, okay. Like, let's talk about hazies. Like, we did not have hazies part of our business plan. We didn't even want to brew them. But then something just kind of sparked our interest. And we're like, you know what? Let's give this a shot. Like, this, you got my interest. I want to learn how to brew this. So it was more the geek side that started it. So we collaborated with a brewery called Shoe Tree Brewing out of Carson City, Nevada. And that's where we developed Disco Ninja. We entered Disco Ninja into a beer competition in Connecticut, and we actually took first place.
Of course you did.
Right?
I'm from
Connecticut.
Nothing about that sounds unbelievable.
And it all sounds unbelievable. Yeah. From fucking Reno to Connecticut.
Right? From Carson City.
Yeah, and then you see the social media posts like, who the fuck's this brewery out of Nevada that just took a first place?
Wow.
Well, let's just say it was our first one. If you would have put that in the fridge and 4 days later, it came out clear. And Jeb and I were like, no, we really want to learn this style.
A proper
hazy. And that's
hazy, yeah.
why we got into hazies. And then during that process, obviously, the beer was selling very well. And then we decided to do that. And kind of lagers, same thing. Like, we know things are shifting, and we see it and hear it. But we didn't brew the lager for that. We brewed it for Mike.
Because you wanted to, yeah. Okay. And that makes sense. And then, like I said, if you do it well, then I think consumers follow.
Absolutely.
Then they're happy that you did it.
Absolutely.
But if you fuck it up,
you're fucked.
Yeah.
And then we're just stuck with hazies. Like, hey,
you know, I wonder if you can get a worse reputation for an IPA that's not very good or a lager that's not actually a lager.
You know what? Mm. I think an IPA. I think you're
really?
Not. I think you're. I don't think consumers understand that the lager is harder to do.
And maybe in the
and if you mess up the IPA to the consumer, you're now a bad brewer. Really, you can't make a good hoppy beer.
Right.
I don't like you.
Well, I agree with that because you know there's some really good beers out there, and there's some guys that they do really good IPAs, but their lagers are not.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, no, I agree with that.
Hmm. All right. Infinite. Finite.
Finite.
Finite. Madness. Not infinite. Finite is in my glass now. Yeah. What's this beer?
This is a 12.5% Imperial Stout double mashed.
Of course
so,
it is.
Really trying to get those little extra sugars.
What does that mean, double mashed?
So we mash in traditionally step infusion, fill the kettle about halfway, dump the mash, remash, and then top it off.
Okay.
So this one, I believe, was our first experience coming in. It was either this one or Dredge and Desire. We came in over 30 Play-Doh, and our instrumentation wouldn't work anymore until a brewer walked by and says, why don't you guys dilute it?
Wow. We try to hire people smarter than ourselves. Yeah. It's not that
good
hard
call,
to do.
Jeff. Good call.
So you dilute it and then figure out that number and then do the math.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the simple things that are smart.
Yeah.
That's a great beer.
This beer's our first ever barrel-aged beer that released. But what's really cool about it is this took gold this year at the European Beer Star in Germany.
Really?
So we're super excited about this.
I love that you guys are like babies. We're just starting a lager program. This is our first barrel-aged beer. You're babies, and you're so successful already. You're like just now dipping into things like, it's our first barrel beer.
It's like the baby from Look Who's Talking. We can already talk.
Yeah. It's like Boss Baby.
Yeah.
Right?
In the sense that you wait until you know what you're doing is what I think I'm saying, because this is a great barrel-aged beer, and you guys kind of don't just dabble. You wait until you know what you're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been drinking beer for a long time, so we definitely know what we like.
And you know what's good and bad.
We do. And this right here, this was, I believe, Jeb and myself. Mm. I think Mike was included on this one. Just barrel sampling. And, Marty, you know, we kind of do it. Yeah, Marty. A, B, and C. Nothing complex.
And you guys are good about, like, self-criticism.
Yeah.
And do you let other people give you criticism?
Absolutely.
You do.
You can't learn if someone doesn't have the balls to tell you.
You absolutely can't, but not – that is – I think you probably know that's not a skill everybody has.
No.
Where they – first of all, open themselves up to, hey, try this. I actually want to know what you think.
Absolutely.
But then to listen to it.
Yep.
So you guys do that.
We do. And yeah. I think one of my first experiences, Rob at Pangea in Sacramento, I was intimidated by that guy when I first started Knee Deep to go in there with our beers. And that was the time before Knee Deep really defined who we were. Mm. Going in there, giving him samples, it was game on.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not afraid of any of that.
Absolutely.
That is a good place to get some beers, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me what I've done wrong.
You'd rather know.
Are you telling me, or are you just in relation to the story?
Well, it goes go either way. Anyone but JP.
Ready, JP, go.
Well, walking in here.
Yeah. Let me pull up my notes.
No, yeah. But with beer, yeah. I'd rather hear what you think is wrong with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't tell me what's right.
Tell me
what you think is wrong.
I think it's so important. And I think we used to talk about this in the early days of the show all the time, that you should take feedback and you should give it to your fellow homebrewers or whatever it is you're doing. And nobody ever really took that advice, to be honest with you.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No worries. It's hard. I mean, definitely it's hard when someone is like, no, or meh.
especially if you thought the opposite, especially if you're like, oh, I nailed this one.
Yeah, and then after years, you say, well, what about it is Matt? Or like,
and
what
isn't
do
that
you,
the most important
you...
time to ask for feedback when you think you nailed it?
Yeah,
that's the one you should ask for feedback on, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned that skill from my dad, and we were hanging out behind Anderson Valley during Boonville, and my dad is an in-your-face, tell you how your beer really is. And someone came up and wanted my dad to, hey, how do you, tell me about this beer. So
It
was like an apricot IPA. And my dad's like, I was like, don't ask him if you're not ready for it. He was nice. He says, why don't you learn how to perfect the IPA first and then add the apricot?
That's a nice way to say it, right?
No, right? I don't know how nice it is. It's a way to say it.
I feel like that. I can accept that.
It's honest.
I was like, oh, all right.
He didn't say you fucking suck.
It's true. I mean, he could have gone worse.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're right.
And if you know Jeremy's dad, he was being really nice.
He was being nice.
Can he be my new co-host, too?
You would love him.
You guys are saying
how it is.
Sounds like we got to go through Reno.
I love Reno.
Yeah, I would go to Reno.
I would lose money on the trailer. I am so white trash. Reno is my jam. Your dad's my jam already.
Yeah, like
I can tell. Yeah.
With the trailer, you'd fit in.
Yeah, especially in Carson City. Carson City is like just one big trailer park.
Yes.
Everyone has double wide. That's it.
I know.
My dad used to live there.
I'm going to change it to Crosley City. It's going to be my city.
Hell yeah.
All right. What about the Darkling? Because we're going to run out of time. I want to make sure we get through these beers.
So this is our most recent barrel-aged packaged beer. So it's pretty punchy. It's our Darkling Stout in a whiskey distilleries barrels from Colorado. So this is just pure stout and barrel and whiskey. And
Basic stout recipe is what you're saying? Nothing flashy about that?
Correct.
Okay.
Why aren't you saying the distillery name?
Because when I asked them, they said, oh, please don't say it. This is before trying. They didn't know who we
they
were
hate
at
you?
All.
Or,
no,
I think that's the equivalent. That's the equivalent of them giving them feedback on their beer.
Yeah. They're
no. To be clear, we haven't sent them samples yet. Okay, so it was still in the barrel when I talked to them over GBF. And they were like, yeah, why don't you like hold on that?
they have some big lawyers.
Yes.
You should have said, you know who I am.
But I think send them this beer. you got to send them these beers.
But I think if they try this beer,
I think you'll get more.
They would want their name on it.
100%.
Yeah, it's interesting because we got hit up with some of the hop attorneys lately. You know, if you have beers called Citra Slam or Citra Revenge or...
Oh, really?
You have Yakima Chief and the hop breeding company now having you sign contracts to make sure that you have the registered mark in the contracts.
Wow.
They can go into any market that you sell into, grab your beer for quality control issues, and revoke that from you to where you can't put the words... Citra, Mosaic, and
quality control
on your label.
This is the first we are hearing this on the show.
We filed some trademarks, and that's what triggered it. It is going around. So if you're a brewery that is not putting the registered mark on there and giving credit to the trademark,
Be aware
just a
that you.
Of time.
Yeah.
Do you think that?
No shit.
I mean, yep.
Do you think that applies to like in the beer description, like when you're saying what the hops are?
The way the contract says, if you put Citra, there's a registered mark, and then you also need to put the ownership. So Darla, she had to go redo. So right, we're in the process of redoing all of our labels, and then whenever we have a repeating, it gets corrected. And then we were almost about to go to print with our Citra Slam cans, and luckily we didn't for that. So
because you would have gotten blocked.
Yeah, and then it's interesting because Amarillo, they're doing the same thing. So again, everyone's really nice.
What a strange! Can I just say though that it's a strange stance to take as a trademark owner, because you're getting publicity out of people like you saying this is our Citra Slam.
Yep.
But you're now going to put a bunch of rules on that, and what you could easily do is go, all right, well, fuck off. I won't call it Citra Slam. I'll call it, you know, Hoppy Slam, whatever the fuck you come up with that's better.
Absolutely.
And then they get nothing. They get no publicity. So it's a weird stance to take.
It is. You know, I sit there and try to think of why, and I think it really comes down to them making sure the beer being brewed with their hop is really in there.
I get that. That makes sense. And that it's good, yeah.
That it's good.
That makes sense.
But still weird.
It's a fine line, I think, that they have to walk.
Well, but also, Yakima, what does Yakima Chief care if they get publicity to the general public? They don't know. But I think what they want is the average beer drinker right now is getting a little more aware of
the names
brand.
And
like you're saying, there's a little more quality control. They want to make sure that the beer tastes good with that name.
Sure.
Citra,
and then they'll license you. Then it's cool.
Yeah. But I wonder how many breweries actually care, because, I mean, there's people we were talking about in the last segment or whatever, literally taking Fruity Pebbles fucking box.
Right.
And changing it to Fruity Rebels with jerk off motion. And literally, it's Fred fucking Flintstone on their label. But they don't give a shit.
Why
but
don't you do our marketing, JP? That is the best.
But I feel like, if you're going to piss anybody off, you don't want to piss off the hot people.
Yeah.
That's the one people you can piss off. Fucking Post. Who gives a shit?
Even malt people you can piss off, because you can buy eight other malt. It's fine.
But the hot people, I feel like,
you can't not buy Citra anymore. Right. You're fucked
it's
as a brewery.
Everything.
Yeah. I love this Citra Slam. What's in it? Simcoe and Mosaic.
We just didn't want to tell you.
Tetanang, I don't know.
The only way you could survive as a brewery without Citra is to name your brewery after we don't have Citra. Basically.
Yeah.
Or have the biggest galaxy contract.
Yeah. right. Okay, so what do you think of the Darkling, JP? It sounded like you were a fan
of it. I really like it.
Do you like it better than the Finite?
Oh, God damn it. Hold on.
There's something in the Darkling that I can't pick out. There's one flavor I'm trying to decide what it is.
A little bit of a licorice thing in there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was going to say cola, but in between cola and licorice.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
Have you guys messed around with that Ambergano wood at all?
No, I heard about that.
Honestly, this one
umami
almost tastes like not umami.
Oh, sorry, I just like saying that.
it's like ginger umami party cinnamon cookies.
It's very expensive.
There's a little cinnamon. I got that.
Actually, a little ginger, a little candied ginger in here would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think I like the Darkling better because I like the more kind of stout flavor rather than like the really round kind of complexities of a traditional bourbon barrel aged thing.
Then the only thing other than stout is whatever flavor is from the barrel, right? Nothing
else. Now I don't know. Going back to it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I might like the other one because the stout, it tastes too much like a stout, and I would drink too much of it.
So
and be you,
and be me.
But the other one,
the Finite Madness is 2 years old, and the Darkling is 5 months in terms of being out of barrels and into bottle. So expect more roundness and complexity over time.
Okay, mm-hmm. I won't.
Yeah, what's awesome too is the
fucking
Darkling.
Tell me what to do, man. Swear to God.
Sorry, JP. Yeah, we actually helped some of these barrels back, and we aged them on cacao nibs for almost 2 weeks, and so that beer gets released this Friday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, nibs, dude.
Yeah, I like
two
that.
2 weeks, that's it?
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
Go 4 months.
Hand roasted.
Go 4 months. I swear to God.
Cacao nibs?
My oatmeal stout that was 5%, I left on for 4 months.
That sounds very chocolatey.
It is. Okay. It's so good. Pale chocolate in the malt bill, and then nibs for 4 months.
Okay.
2 months, 3 months.
Well, you can do both, right? You can release it and hang on to it.
Absolutely. Because the way, my theory was about it when I used to homebrew is treat them like French oak cubes.
Yep.
Where not chips. Like, chips are like 1-2 weeks, that's it. But the cubes, you can go 6 months because you get that deep penetration.
Correct.
Right?
Yep. Yeah.
Nibs is, for me, are the same way.
Right on.
Hmm.
Give it a shot. I don't know, man.
No,
or don't. I don't fucking care.
Well, if we do, we might tell you.
All right. Yeah. Please do.
He also won't care.
Yeah. No, I'll go. If you do it, I'll go. I'll all right, go to all Reno. Right.
Now
I'll
they're not going to do
go
it.
To Reno.
You will.
I want to play blackjack now. I want to play blackjack and smoke.
Make sure you're on single deck. Single deck only.
GSR.
So your kids can hang out with my kids.
That is
they're
my
about the same age.
Place. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Beto right. And I both love GSR. We get free rooms there. That's how often
that's
we go.
That's how much money.
Actually, we don't go that often. It's because it's Reno, and they just are begging you to come and hang out at their casino. And I'm telling you, Grand Sierra, it's my jam.
Let's go.
That's a good one. You never have to leave. Mm-hmm. So,
let's go.
You guys better invite me.
They have a bowling alley. They got a round table pizza. What more do you need?
But I love Willie Nelson every 3 months, pretty much.
Also, Willie Nelson on high repeat.
Nick, if we go to Reno and do our casino thing, are you going to invite us to a house party too? And we hang out till 5 a.m. drinking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
for sure.
Hell yeah.
We're
you guys can all come down to my house. I got 3 kegs on tap.
Oh my gosh.
We're good.
Jeremy's like, I won't be there, but you can.
I'll need the tap list in advance to figure that out.
Oh my God.
I might get an Airbnb in room.
You're the only difficult one. The rest of us are literally.
We're going to have lager. Don't worry.
JP, we do have a porter as well.
Okay, see you. There you go.
You guys are amazing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the beer. I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back and fuck around for another 20 minutes. I would love it if you stayed for that.
Sounds good.
But I wanted to say thank you to Revision Brewing. You can go to revisionbrewing.com and find out all the info that you need. We often have cans here at the Hop Grenade. You can buy it here, and when we can get it on tap, we like to do that as well. Revisionbrewing.com. Darla, did I do okay? Is that all the promotion I have to do?
Oh, actually, if it's all right, May 9th is our third anniversary party.
Yeah.
So we're both big music fans, and Jeremy loves to throw a party. So about every quarter, we have a bunch of bands come in, and we have professional stage and lighting and sound. It looks
really
looks like a venue
at the brewery.
At the brewery,
you haven't seen a brewery party till our
So May 9th, it's our third anniversary party. We're gonna throw down.
Yeah,
we actually had a music magazine reach out to interview us because of we were kind of ranked high on the mid-sized music venues, and Darla told like, well, we only do it like 3-4 times a year. Oh, we can't interview you
because it's not enough times. Wow.
We had
May 9th.
We had aerial performers last year at our anniversary.
Wow.
Party,
so.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sounds like Burning Man.
No, it sounds like my kind of party.
All right, Teresa and I are going to go party at Revision. May 9th, everybody. Go to revisionbrewing.com. You can get more information. We'll be right back after these words.
Hello, this is David Walker from Firestone Walker Brewing Company. You are listening to The Session on the Brewing Network.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is David Walker.
David Walker.
Very Churchillish almost.
I know. He has better hair than me, too. He's the only guy in the beer industry that has better hair than I do.
I don't know.
Don't sell yourself short,
don't worry,
Justin. Got some pretty good hair.
You know what? Speaking of hair, I thought about doing this. I thought about going like bald guy on top because I am. Pony.
Oh, bald guy pony?
Bald guy pony tracksuit. That's my new look, I think.
Okay.
Bald guy pony tracksuit.
I can get behind that, JP.
Thank you.
Teresa, I'm supportive. Stop it right now.
I am supportive to every idea
tonight.
Stop it
right now. Keep going.
I barely like JP.
Yeah.
So normally I'd be like, yeah, do that.
Because
you look like a fucking asshole.
Oh.
But no, I can't do that to you.
Why not?
Don't. You can't do Bald Guy Ponytail.
Why not?
I already hate the tracksuit. I hated it before the Bald Guy Ponytail.
You've never seen me in it.
I know, but I heard you talk about it, and then I pictured you, and I'm like, absolutely not.
You know what I want to see is JP with the balding male pattern ponytail in the tracksuit with the freaking thing that like
Boner?
The mob guys like tan their faces with. They're like the mirror.
The mirror? I can do that.
Wait, we're gonna settle this. We're gonna settle this problem right now. Darla, I know you don't want to be on the microphone, but I need your help right now. Grab the microphone. Darla from Revision Brewing.
This happened.
Should JP do bald guy ponytail tracksuit?
Bald guy pony track.
Please. Your opinion.
Oh man, my background is so much stronger on things other than this.
That's okay. I trust you for some reason.
Ball game pony track.
I see no ponytail nub though.
Well, not yet. That's what I want to do. I don't
this
have
feels
it.
Premature.
Just imagine, it is very premature.
Imagine that it can
and
exist
me,
and should it exist.
It sounds like you get really arrested within about 30 minutes.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you.
I do live very close to a school.
I mean, yeah, you'd be at the park with Alice and people would be calling the police on you, on your own daughter.
I honestly feel like that has almost happened on several occasions.
Right. Because, like, so why are you stacking the deck?
Because I want to sue the city. I don't know.
That's it.
I want to feel what it's like to be a POC.
Let's do this one step at a time.
For no reason.
Shit, this is my last show.
It is.
This is why I almost wore the tracksuit.
Because I want it
to you.
I was going
to
say wear it next show, but this is my last show ever.
Well, if you go on Wednesday, you have to wear it.
You're a piece of shit. If I go Wednesday, I will. But just do one more show. Just do one more show. Come back.
I don't want to do one more show.
One more show for me. I have a picture of me in the
I'm actually
suit.
Still you know, happy this is my last show. I feel like we're going out with a bang.
There's like...
Thank you.
It's like a solid 6 months to develop even a ponytail.
Oh yeah, but you know, I haven't cut my hair in a while, so it's going to be.
Is that a baby
a
man bun?
Also, I don't picture it being an actual ponytail. Anyway, it's actually just like that, but he puts a rubber band around four strands of hair.
See, that's me in the tracksuit.
It's definitely going to.
It looks pretty good, right? I mean, I look pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
You know what?
It's the only Photoshop I've done. Or
it's not that bad. Actually,
it's not that bad.
Why is there a yes and no percentage thing on it? Do I get to vote? You put this up for people to vote?
Yeah, I put it up on my Instagram feed.
And was it like a hot or not?
No, it was...
What's it say?
Putting on is it on camera? Trying to put it on camera.
I'm solidly in the yes category.
Is this drip too hard?
Yeah, put that up to 58.
I love your style.
Thank you. I was asking my fans, my followers,
I really thought the tracksuit was white.
I hate to say this. It looks really good.
My drip wasn't too hard at all, right? It was just the right amount.
And
but that's
with
not
you.
With the blue gullet.
And the blue framed glasses. Yeah. You know what?
I got a thing going.
You have some style. I hate to say this.
This is the thing about the tracksuit. I'm
some
tired
style.
Of wearing clothes that people would make fun of me for.
Oh.
Yeah. Because everyone always goes,
meowdy partner.
That's the man wearing the meowdy partner.
Shirt. Is that on camera? Can we get that
100%
on camera?
100% that's on camera.
This is why you need to watch the video.
I'm tired of wearing shirts for babies. I want to wear... some, you know, adult content.
Man. Okay, that is definitely a shirt for babies.
I am so upset that you actually have some style. I'm really upset about this.
Can we be tracksuit brothers?
No, I won't. I don't think I can pull it off. I think I'm projecting on you that I can't pull it off. So I hate it about you because I can't do it. You look good in a tracksuit, man.
That's the first time you've projected on me that I haven't noticed
in a year. Yeah.
we just need like a slow-mo video of the two of you
in tracksuit.
I used to break dance if you want to hang out.
Oh, no. Yes.
We got a cardboard box somewhere.
Cardboard
on the ground. I got some linoleum. We got it.
Now I see how you guys were able to hang out until 5 a.m.
You see why you're bitching on my people?
I understand this. Thing.
They're my people.
I get this.
When Nick, you guys are my
all
people.
The
when this I come out, sure. I'm buying a tracksuit. You're going to wear it. We're going to do a show together in tracksuits.
I'm pretty sure that I even said that night, I was like, how have you guys not been on the show? You're my people. So.
And then it took how long after to get them on?
I know, and that still took a while. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
And bringing us beer and then letting me fall off the wagon with you.
Are you coming back to the studio ever?
So
Yes, he is. Good
question. All right, yeah, I should clarify. When I say I'm never doing a show again, what I mean is this is my last in-studio show. I'm leaving in a couple weeks for New Zealand. I'm going to do the hop thing in New Zealand. And then when I come, I'm coming back for Spring Brews Festival, which is on March 28th. And then I leave on April 1st to do all of the shows from the road. So, yes, you will still get me doing shows from the road. But now to your question. It depends on how much I like being on the road. I am currently scheduled to come back in October.
So we're never going to
But if I'm kind of loving it, I might not come back in October and just keep on the road. I have a feeling I'm going to enjoy it.
Of course you will. But you need... How are you going to understand pleasure if you don't know the pain of being in the studio working?
So I have to come back just for that. Okay, here...
Actually, balance yourself out.
Okay, wait. This. I do have to come back for the Hop Grenades 6th anniversary party in July. I have to come back that weekend to hang... So maybe we'll do a show on that.
And breakdance.
On that Monday. And breakdance. I should invite all of my new friends.
I'll bring my tracksuit. I'll be there.
I will be there too.
Can it be like a multiple brewery show?
Absolutely.
You guys, Crooked Lane, Sully's got to come out. Nope. Maybe we'll invite a few others.
Love it.
Multiple brewery show. Yeah, that will make me want to be here. Maybe. I'll be like, fuck it, I'm calling in sick. I'm going to invite all of you, and then I'm going to call in sick.
Maybe I'll.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to get on the road. I want to leave right now.
I've never been jealous of you, except right now.
Fair. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, and I really hope that we can get funding to pay for me to go out there.
Yeah, me too.
Because I can't afford it.
Me too. I don't want to be alone out there the whole time, and I think it's going to be super fun to go to breweries that in random towns that we never would have found ourselves in. I'm fired up about it.
Yeah. It's I like it. I'm excited to even just hear about it.
And you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to manscape
before you go.
Is everybody following my train of logic right now?
Yeah, you know what you should do is give us a millimeter update every week on every show.
Well,
how much you're growing back in?
We should have a code name like "How's the turf, bro?"
I like this a lot.
How's your crop?
How's your crop? How's the turf?
Almost harvest. Almost ready for harvest.
Make sure you apply that fertilizer.
Because Manscaped just came out with the Lawnmower 3.0.
Yes.
And I'm going to use it. That's how I'm going to prep for my trip. So when you see me, ask to see my junk. Actually, please don't. Please don't have this conversation.
Yeah,
with me.
Because he will show it to
really
you.
Yeah, that's a really awkward way to introduce yourself to a new person.
You're like, what's up?
We actually got a few pieces of feedback on Manscaped.
Okay.
On the Lawnmower 3.0. Someone ordered it, and they were like, I don't even know how I didn't have this.
They loved it, right?
Yeah.
You can go to manscaped.com, and when you use coupon code BREWING, you can right now get the Lawnmower 3.0. And I think you also get, what else? You get 20% off and then free shipping. So check it out. Go to manscaped.com, use coupon code BREWING. And, I've been using the 2.0 for a few months now.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah?
It's great.
How close does it, because I was looking at mine, I'm charging it. Yeah, you get to choose like the normal thing, or it has a guard. It has one guard.
Correct.
So how do you use the guard?
I use the guard because I feel like how long bald is not a good look for me.
Yeah,
my balls are not the nicest looking the things you've ever seen.
How you don't know?
Well,
what
maybe
seen.
You don't know. Because
yeah, you don't
you
know what
really
I've
gotten
seen.
That.
Are we vulgar?
Yeah. We know. I've compared them to other balls.
Yeah,
I have talked to Bevo about it.
It's like shaving. It's like shaving spaghetti. It's
a thing. Yeah. They're not awesome.
But
and so
how long does the guard leave your crop?
It's very short. Okay. Very short. So there's color. It's like there's color. So you can tell that I'm an adult male.
There's color?
Like my hair. Like there's.
Does it bite?
Oh my God.
You can tell that I'm an adult male, basically.
Jesus. I don't know what that means.
You can see hair, is what
okay.
I'm saying.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. Gotcha.
This product does not nick or cut.
Correct.
Nick, would you agree that this knick-knack is nick free?
Nick, it's. I think we should have a Manscaped challenge with Nick. Can Nick himself with the lawnmower 3.0?
Yeah, Nick, I want you to grind this shaver into your balls.
You gotta dive in.
You know, like the Native Americans used to do with a mortar and pestle? That's what I want you to do.
With the 3.0.
Yeah, grind your sack into tortilla flour.
You remember you also gave me a 3.0, which...
Oh, I did?
Yes, I didn't use it on myself.
You haven't?
Not on myself, on Sam.
Okay.
What? He's equal opportunity shaving. Come on.
That's
and
true. Well,
how do you like his package right now?
Well, he used it unguarded, and there were no nicks.
He went full balls.
He's got balls.
Full balls.
He went manzillion.
And Sam's sack is similar to mine in its ugliness.
In its sag factor.
It's very easily snagged, and he didn't snag?
There was no snaggage. He was actually kind of... Sam doesn't like emote a lot, but he was like impressed. He was like, "I'm like,
Sam
this
doesn't
is like really good."
Also,
and he said the light was really helpful.
It's also there's a light.
It has a light,
and it's waterproof. Yeah. You can do it in the shower.
In the shower, in the dark.
In the dark, like that happened.
I have to shower in the dark.
This just sounded like a Dr. Seuss book. You guys,
it did.
You're right.
Well, in the shower, in the dark,
Manscaped.com, coupon code brewing. Okay. And then how was our How was our Twitter game?
It's good. It wasn't very
what
good.
Was our Twitter game?
What's the worst thing about the Brewing Network?
Right. Remember when I said it was good to solicit advice and feedback? I'm not positive that this is going to go well.
Yeah.
It's okay. I expected a lot more from our people, but we were off last week, so I feel like...
Sure. And we're off this week in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah, but we're also on in a different way.
Fair.
Also good.
What'd you get? Do I have to write it down like I always do? Because I'm not going to.
Nah, son.
Okay.
Pete the Dink. Speaking of dinks, I don't know. The BN store is under construction.
True.
Yeah.
That's
the worst part.
That's a constant. Really? Is that the worst part?
It's also Pete. He lives in, Manteca. What does he know about good and bad?
It's like it's almost Reno, but worse.
It's almost Carson City.
Sorry, guys. But almost. It's almost Reno, but it's Carson City.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's almost Carson City, but it's Sparks with no prostitution.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Ben Ben says you took away the 2NA watch out ads and the Moylan's ads.
Yeah.
Old news.
Yeah. Johan says the constant burping of Jamil and company, especially on
he burps
days.
A lot. Yeah, he does. Thank you.
Damn.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah.
I love Jeb.
Fucking sound machine.
Jeb's my... you guys are my people.
And then last but not least, Mike says the host getting his life together.
Oh, that is the worst thing about the burger.
Washing regularly, drinking less, stopped smoking, and even keeping his twigs and berries kept for the unsuspecting lady friend.
I also hate me.
So
thank you.
That's the worst part about the Brewing Network. I'm just going to get to Mike.
Shut the front door.
Yeah. I bet the feedback about this show is people are like, thank God he's a fucking shit show again. Because I was bored with myself.
Truth.
So that's our winner.
Yeah, let me make sure that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Well, see, you know what?
You have more?
There's a couple more.
Okay.
Let me just read. In Chechnya, we don't have Brewing Network to have worst. Worst is all of life.
True.
Chechnya.
Someone said the half-assed Twitter games.
Yeah.
Someone said, you're perfect. The worst part went to Washington.
Oh.
That's hella funny.
So Beardy wrote in? That's obviously Beardy.
Someone said, I love hate JP's somehow simultaneous hipster old man elitist attitude towards not only beer styles but life.
Yeah.
But he's always had brews.
That's true. Someone else said the Brewing Network.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, I'm done with it. Our winner was our winner. I just cracked open a sparkling fruit spritzer.
Seltzer.
A white
seltzer.
Claw? Yeah.
Are you guys doing it? This is the new craft thing, right? You all have to make seltzers now?
Yeah, we actually we have a Brut milkshake hard seltzer coming out.
I want to call it the F word really bad. I want to slur at him right now.
Please tell me that's a true story. Because I will promote the shit out of it for you for free. Yeah, I'll be like, my dudes at Revision get it, and they're making that.
We just call it the Justin.
And it's
and people will get it. They'll be like, wow, shit show. So JP brought me this. I'm not going to name the brewery, but we were talking seltzers, and I was like, yeah, I actually really haven't had a craft seltzer, so why don't you bring one to the show, because I want to taste it on the air.
Yeah, I've been doing it for like 2 months. I've been telling you about this, and finally I stole Terrence's
last one. I don't love
it
at all.
It took one tiny sip of it.
I took two.
But it's also room temperature.
It's room temperature, but it's sweet. It's like fruity, sweet bullshit. I thought it would
be sweet.
I thought it would be more seltzery.
It's not sweet.
It is so sweet. Jeff,
no.
Taste this and tell me if
that's
it's sweet.
That's a great local brewery, too.
They are a great brewery, which is why I don't want to say their name, because I don't want to like shit on this one product they make. They make great beer.
It's room temperature.
Tell me that's sweet.
Oh, I definitely got to try this.
It's sweet, right?
Yeah. It's
Jeremy, try it.
Like a soda.
It's not like a soda.
You guys are retarded. No, that's correct. It's like a. It's very juice-like.
It's like a soda with a weird kind of off flavor in the finish.
It's not crisp.
It's not crisp.
It's room temperature. I don't know why I'm all heated about it.
I know. Yeah, you're like, it's my new favorite.
But I think of all of the seltzers.
It smells terrible.
It does have a wine flavor, but it's sweet, right? Like, come on. I thought that the whole thing around the seltzers is that it's like light and not sweet.
It's fruit and seltzer.
White Claw, no laws.
Yeah.
I got white girl wasted on White Claw last night.
Huh. Last night, even.
For the Oscars.
I don't think that, baby.
That's a weird tasting beverage.
I don't get any of that.
I haven't had that
when
one
yet. It's cold. I've only ever tasted
not
it cold. It's
do you love it?
No, I don't love it.
Okay.
But I think it's really interesting, and I think of the seltzers that I've had, this is the best example of a fruited seltzer.
Got it.
For me, I
don't like the lingering on the palate. I feel like it should wash off faster.
Try it.
It's been sitting here for four hours.
It says it's dry, but it's very sweet.
It's not dry. And I actually thought, I might be one of these seltzer douchebags. Like, I thought maybe it'd be my other go-to drink.
Well, you're happy.
Based on this, I am not a seltzer douchebag.
Now, if you bring me a bottle of vodka, I'd finish it.
Then let's just do that.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. I thought it was interesting. Give another shot.
I like the package.
But cold.
It's a nice can. Okay.
Give it cold because, you know.
Should I just pour it into my beer? Should we do a mix?
Honestly, if something tastes terrible warm.
Spoken like a brewer, by the way. Whatever. That's
also,
not a consumer statement. That's a brewer statement.
Yeah. Well, also for white wine, the cold hides flaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
you're not wrong. I'm just saying, spoken like a brewer.
I am kind of a turk. Yeah. However,
well, I do love it when people
Teresa's
at
work
warm IPA.
Now.
I'm like, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That might be good.
Damn, I got called out.
I used to live there.
A classist elitist.
Right. Public health announcement, though, that just got passed between six people, so you guys all have coronavirus.
I know. I was going to ask before I took a sip if you guys visited your China distributor.
Well, Jeb was just in Japan, but, you know, I figured I'd catch it before.
What the fuck, Jeb? You didn't tell me that before I shared it with you?
Well, we wanted to make sure everyone caught it before it mutated.
Right. By the way, since I also shared it, you're lucky if you leave with just coronavirus.
You think he's joking. Yeah. I don't know why you guys are laughing.
Yeah. That's the new name, right? Justin Coronavirus?
Yes. I've only been single for a couple months.
Just mouth herpes. No big deal.
Really quick, Teresa, are we inviting people to our brew day on February 29th? Can listeners come? Is that a thing?
Yeah. I mean, okay. So what's going to happen is we're going to brew a beer and maybe we're going to brew JP's oatmeal stout.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Because
fuck you.
We still need to figure that out. But I like that idea. And then Crooked Lane is doing a party and
karaoke
nights which I'm going to judge.
It's a competition, right?
Yeah, the brewers are going to judge. You guys can judge.
What song are we going to, what duet
are we
going to
do? But I'm
really
hoping that you'll perform so I can judge you.
We can break dance.
You know
before the whole Trump thing, my go-to song in my mind, because I've never karaoke before, was always Fighting Side of Me by Merle Haggard. But now I think I'm just going to get into a fight because it's very much like xenophobic and whatever.
Please.
That
please.
Could probably happen in Auburn.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, yeah. it's like
our trailer will be right out. Parked right out front.
I feel like Auburn is like if Berkeley was just populated by the Unabomber.
Yeah.
That's my idea. But
by the way, you have performed before. We usually do Hall & Oates.
That's right, on the cruise.
Yeah.
That was terrible and amazing. Good,
yeah. That was wretched.
Sam's coming, right?
Sam
has to be there.
Let's do something. Let's do a song.
So, JP, did you use karaoke as a verb? Did you say
yes,
karaoke?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah. I have some musical skill. Like, I can actually judge.
Thanks,
man.
Friends and Sam.
You are absolutely welcome to judge.
I'm going to judge the hell out of you guys.
We can judge.
I'm not thinking
the hell out of all of Auburn. It's going to be awesome.
Beverly's guest judge. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
I will also sing a song because I have a karaoke problem. I think I've messed with you.
What's your do you have a go-to?
Oh, you know, so when I was in Puerto Vallarta over the last couple weeks, had a karaoke night.
You did?
Yes, but it was really funny because I think I cheered really hard for the first few folks. So by the time it was my turn, I had blown my voice out completely. So I
feel like your go-to is something like, if you like pina coladas.
No way. I was more like Alanis Morissette. Like,
are you?
Oh,
cranberries?
Yeah. I'm a bitch.
No,
don't make me sing karaoke right now because I will do it.
I can't wait.
Oh, damn. I'm excited.
I can't wait. It'll be February.
And that is my jam, by the way.
Or Lady Gaga.
Ooh.
February 29th, we'll all be at Crooked Lane Brewing Company.
Yes. Closer
to Reno, by the way. Yep. So if you guys want to meet in the middle, come hang out with us. We're going to brew, I think, JP's
maybe
something.
Yeah.
And then we're going to karaoke all night long. And then we're going to pass out in your parking lot.
Yes. I can't wait. It's going to be super fun.
I will be there.
Literally.
I'm really excited for it.
Do that. Before you do that, go to DukeCannon.com and get yourself some soap and clean yourself up. They have their moderate self-improvement box, which was clearly invented for me. Forget about all your New Year's resolutions where you're like, oh, I'm going to be a better person. Just be a moderately better person.
Yes.
It's an $84 box that you're going to get for $50 plus, I think, another 15% off if you use coupon code BREWING. And you get dry ice body powder from them, which I tried this week.
And you love it.
I do love it. Because I didn't have to actually shower. Antiperspirant and deodorant. You're going to get the Trench Warfare antiperspirant and deodorant. You're going to get News Anchor 2-in-1 hair wash, which JP will be using when he does his ponytail tracksuit experiment.
That's right.
You get Bloody Knuckles hand repair balm, which Biva swears by.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked, right?
I really like it, yeah.
Working Man's Face Watch. Plus, you get a big-ass brick of soap, Junior, the small version.
Which I also have.
And the Bourbon Solid Cologne, which I'm wearing today.
Me too.
Because I didn't...
You put cologne on today?
Because I didn't... I was a mess before I got here.
It sounds like a brewer's travel bag. It's pretty rad.
Yeah, it is, right? But just full disclosure, I almost called in sick today, guys. And it's only because you and Nick, and I love you guys, that
literally.
I was like, I can't do that. So I just put on a bunch of... I drank a beer before leaving the house because it was the only thing that was going to fix me.
It's like Pepto-Bismol, but better.
Thank you. Exactly. I had to put on all of the Duke Cannon products because I was not about to shower. I put my hair in the stupid man bun because I was... Because
you want to look good.
Thank you. And I'm here because of you guys.
That's awesome.
Talked about this. We kind of switched up your Beer Week event, and I was like, no, fuck that. If Revision's coming for Beer Week, we have to do a show about it. And then when I woke up today and didn't want to do the show, I was like,
You forgot your tracksuit, though.
I forgot my tracksuit, and I can't bail on Revision. So thank you guys for being here, and I'm really happy I came, too, by the way. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you, man.
So,
thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
DukeCannon.com. Use coupon code BREWING. JP, thank you for
being a friend.
Yeah, that.
travel down the road and back again.
You got to find your song.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Whoa.
And if you threw a party.
Oh, my God. It's still happening.
That's a good karaoke.
Everyone you know. You would see the biggest gift would be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. But the
why do I feel like it should be bump, bump, bump? That one bites the dust.
Because we're old? Yeah. I don't know.
We all know the answer.
I like her.
Yeah. Yeah, Darla's allowed to come back. The rest of you, not so much.
Even me?
All right. Go to revisionbrewing.com. Thank you, guys. I love you. Goodbye. I won't ever do a show again in this room. This is my last show.
You're
I'm feeling emotional
for
somehow.
Like 2.5 months.
I'm suddenly emotional. I will never do a show in this room again.
Never say that.
You wish.
Will I still get paid?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's all I care about.
I got you, boo. Right.
I got take us out of here, JP.
You're our sponsor, Morebeer. You guys say everything you need, maybe go to morebeer.com. The folks from Revision Brewing Company trucked all the way out from the battle-born state of Nevada to feed us a lager beer, and I think that was pretty much it. Check them out over at revisionbrewing.com. Do you have extra money? If so, head over to patreon.com/earsup and support JP in his quest to become supported monetarily by you. If you love Twitter and homebrew, follow Nate Smith and Nathan Homebrew. I'm getting played out. Mike McDowell at Tasty McD. And you can unfollow Warren at Another Beardy. And our newest brewcaster, Teresa, is online at Pastuti Brews and Crooked Lane Brewing. Keep track of JP over Dripping Too Hard over on Instagram at Major Jip. And you can find Beaver there as well at Beverly M. Moore. Be sure to find the brew on Facebook.
Everybody.
Aye, 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 aye. JP's an asshole.
Nice guy.
Winning the race. JP is racist and he's handsome as fuck.
Oh my God.